Camelot.
Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance where we're able. We do routines to border scenes, to footwork impeccable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more mid-able. The many times we give and rhymes that are quite something able. We're off so mad in Camelot. We sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Ma'am, sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you ma'am.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help, I'm being repressed,
bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Hear ye, hear ye. King Shazir the Turbo. All rise for King Shazir the Turbo and the Knights of the Round Table.
Was that ant that stood up to me?
Yeah, but we can forget about him.
Yeah, it was just one ant.
Ooh.
One ant.
Yeah, you're right. It's just one ant.
Yeah, boss. They're puny.
Hmm, puny? Say, let's pretend this brain is a puny little ant.
Did that hurt?
Nope.
Well, how about this one?
Are you kidding?
Well, how about this?
You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up.
Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life.
It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back.
Does anybody else want to stay?
There's something happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop. Children, watch that sound. Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speaking their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. A thousand in the street, singing songs and carrying signs, mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop now. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop.
Yeah, get up at your seat and show some respect. This King Shaziz the Terrible here. Ha! Anyway, just kidding. But what do we really know about the history of our world? That's the question I want to start off with today, because that's a very interesting question. You know, when you're out there seeking the truth and you're trying to figure out, you know, what's really going on, where we come from, who or what we really are, the history of the world kind of stuff, you go down some rabbit holes, man. I don't know if any of you's taken a peek yet, but if you look around, there's this conspiracy called the Mud Flood, and basically it talks about a race that we were all one race at one time called the Tartarians, and that the world gets reset every 2,000 years. Of course, that's not the only conspiracy theory. I hate that word, conspiracy theory. Conspiracy theory is, when you first use that word, it either makes you sound like you just don't know what the heck is going on, which actually we don't know what's going on, but it kind of debunks or belittles any information that you might want to talk about from that point on. As soon as the word conspiracy comes out, everybody tunes off and tunes out and all that kind of stuff. But in reality, if what we believe is true, then there must have been a conspiracy. You must have had people conspiring to hide certain evidences from the world, like, you know, for example, the Smithsonian Institute, they say, is hiding, you know, giant skeletons of men that were 20, 30 feet tall, you know? So, you know, I kind of think that there really were giants that were on the land. Now, of course, my way of thinking about that comes from a book, which is a biblical reference, which actually talks about there were giants on the land in those days. But, once again, look, I'm not here to slap you upside the head with the book. I'm just saying that's what the book said, okay? And I also look into the history of the world when it comes to, like, Greek mythology. And I'm looking at this whole entire picture. I'm stepping back and I'm saying, well, this is what the Bible said. This is what the Greek mythology said. This is what the conspiracy's saying. And these are things that we see, you know, in the, you know, history books and stuff like that. So maybe all of this is real. Maybe all of it's true. Of course, could also be that none of it's true either. So, you know, it's all about, you know, history is at the mercy of the honesty of the teller of the story, so to speak. So it's hard to say. But anyway, if you look at it, you know, my kind of theory that I've kind of developed from the whole entire situation is that, you know, let's say hypothetically there really was a God, and it played out just like in the biblical sense with the, you know, great flood that was, you know, in the Bible about Noah and such like that, and that the reason why the world got flooded was because the world was all corrupted, and these fallen angels came down and they mated with the daughters of men, and they produced these offsprings that were abominations to God, and so on down the line. So you take that and you top that off with Greek mythology and all the explanations of the Greek gods and the Titans and all that kind of stuff. It's like, and those two stories blend in together really good, because, you know, Medusa would have been real. Pan, half goat, half man, would have been real. The Minotaur would have been real. Goliath would have been real. There probably were dragons and unicorns and fairies and all kinds of other stuff. You know, all of these things combined and together that when we were raised up, these were called fairy tales, or these were called Greek mythologies. And of course, you know, the most common view on the Bible and all the way that it was written. But either way, stepping back, looking at the big picture and say, if it did play out like this, then that sounds plausible, and that sounds plausible, and that over there sounds plausible, and these buildings are explained by the people who were supposedly the fallen angels that came down, and they had all this technology, and they built the pyramids. They built pyramids worldwide. They had an infrastructure. They had technology. They had all this information. And if it all got flooded just like it was explained, well, then that would explain why there are certain things that we are now digging up today, because all the soot, or not the soot, the silt and everything would be, you know, covering it up. You look at the statues at Easter Island, you look at the craftsmanship of some of the buildings and walls and all that kind of stuff. Well, to me, if this played out the way that it was said, you know, biblically speaking, then all these things are plausible. The Greek gods were real. According to the humans, you see somebody come down and is able to do all this amazing stuff, well, you would classify them as a god if you was kind of simple, average human, you know, native to the land or whatever. And so these could be plausible. Every single bit of it could be plausible. All of it could be true, or absolutely none of it could be true. The world could be either 6,000 years old, or it could be millions of years old. It could have been reset so many times that it's just flat out ridiculous. We could be living on the most dangerous rock in the universe or the world. The earth could be flat, it could be round, it could be concave, it could be convex, it could be hollow. We could be living with aliens, we could be living with lizard people, Bigfoot could be real. It doesn't, you know, There would be no way that I would be surprised to find out that any of it or all of it or none of it was truth because of the way that we get our information. I can't trust the news. I can't trust the government. I don't trust the law enforcement. I don't trust the majority of what I read on the internet. I don't trust the alternative media to the extent of what I can actually verify. When I watch this video and they're saying one thing, and I watch that video and they're saying another thing, I step back, I logically look through the whole thing, and I see what seems to be plausible, what ain't plausible, and I formulate my opinion. Same way most folks out there do. And then when they formulate their opinion, sometimes they don't like their opinion to be questioned, so they get angry. You know, it's like the Trump episode, the Trump derangement syndrome or whatever. People are so hateful about this man, they're mad because, you know, he's a criminal, he's a criminal, he's a crook. Well, on the opposite side of the spectrum, he's a criminal, she's a crook, and so on down the line. There's a reason why we're all fighting each other. There's a reason why we're all at odds with one another. There's a reason why we look each other differently because your color of your skin is different than my skin. Or your lifestyle. You know, I seen a guy in a Walmart one time. Looked like he fell face first into a fishing tackle box. It looked like he had all these lures stuck to his face. I said, that must have been painful as all get out. I don't know why he would do that. I wouldn't do that. Why would a person do that to themselves? But to each his own, because that's the world that we live in. Everything's went kind of bizarre. You know, and so whenever you're stepping back and you're trying to catch your breath and you're looking at all this information, you're trying to figure out what the actual truth of the situation is, we don't even know where we live. We might live in a matrix. It could be a hologram. Who knows? We could be something in some digital realm. We could all you know, be living inside of some massive computer system and not even realize we're even here. They showed us movies like The Matrix. They showed us alien invasions. They showed us ancient alien histories. They showed us things, and they put all these questions in our mind. Who built the pyramids? Was it really the Egyptians, or was it prior people from that? If the civilizations have been wiped out and reset and wiped out and reset over who knows how much time, and if it was an actual infinite plane that goes on forever and ever and ever and ever, or maybe even just standing on pillars. There's different societies that call the world a certain thing. There's different societies that believe that the earth is unmovable. It's standing on pillars. That's what the biblical reference says. It could be round. Could be square. It could be digital. These are the questions that will blow your doors off when you go down the rabbit hole. Look up the mud flood. Check that conspiracy out if you're interested in it. You know, and look up ancient giant trees. That's another good one. There's so many different questions. There's more questions than there are answers when you start asking the question, what do we really know about the history of our world? And I would submit to everybody, unless you were there, unless you got some really good first-hand information, then you have to act on faith. You have to believe that something's going on. You have to believe that somebody was truthful. So, you know, what do we do from that? Where do we go from here? Well, some people just don't flat out even care where we came from. Some people don't want to know. Some people think it's better to be, you know, ignorant of the whole situation and just haphazardly go through life. And if doomsday's coming, it's coming. So what? But those folks that feel like they're awake, and those folks who want to know the truth, those folks who want to see a better world that we've been witnessing, they want to get down to the facts. They want to find out if there's those in charge, those secret societies so high up in the upper echelon, the base, the capstone of the pyramid, so to speak, you know, that are controlling the world, that are controlling our minds and all this kind of stuff. We want to know the truth. We want freedom. We want peace. We want love. We want harmony with nature. We want a better world. It's as simple as that. And so we're up against this challenge. It's almost like as if we're in this, you know, you think about this, go inside some video games and you got a, you got to triumph over good or evil or whatever, depending on which side you're on. Because some people like to go into video games and be the bad guy. Some want to be the good guy. So is this all like a big old, you know, there was a movie way back in the day called The Westworld, and there was another one similar to it, but basically it was a, you know, a role-playing thing. You go in there, and all these androids were dressed up like old cowboys, and you could actually go have shootouts with them and stuff like that until at the end of the movie, then everything went awry, and the robots really started shooting people. Yeah, it was a interesting show. Look it up. There's another one like Westworld, but I can't remember what the heck the name of it is. But it's basically like you go back in medieval times or just different portions of this deal, and you can actually be a knight in shining armor and fight against other knights, or you could be, you know, whatever you wanted to. It was entertainment. So are we here for entertainment, or are we here to get a job done? These are the questions. So with that said, you know, you're going down a rabbit hole today if you hang out with us, folks. You might want to leave if you don't want a headache, because this probably gets a little deeper than we think. But, hey, it is what it is. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table at www.shazizradio.com. If you want to join in on the chat, jump over there to the superchat.html. And if you scroll down underneath that and you want to see some other nice folks, there's a link that says People for People Radio Network. It's at peopleforpeople.ning.com. In case the link don't work for you, then you jump over there and say hi to those folks as well. We'll have a really good, interesting conversation together, and we'll share our thoughts on the matter, and we'll see if we can weed our way through the rabbit holes and the matrix, so to speak. So, with that said, I'm not here by myself. Hi, Barbara. How you doing?
Well, hey there, Shaziz. I'm doing okay. And hey, everybody out here.
Did that give you a headache?
I'm way beyond headaches. Hey, everybody. I'm People for People Land, and all the other stations that are listening to us, welcome. And yes, you know, there's no rest for the weary and the leery. I'm just saying. Yeah. It's just our nature, and that's all there is to it. It's our nature to question, and of course we know we're told not to question. That's why we question, because we're told not to question. You learn that very early on. Why not? Why not? Why are we not supposed to question? Oh, we're just supposed to accept everything as we are told by the authorities, and you know what I feel about the authorities, and yes, there are many authorities in our lives, and they start us off really well, making sure that we know there are authorities, and that they know everything, and they have it all, and we must listen to them and believe everything they tell us. So, you know, it's like, I'm just one of those questioners since I was a child, but also I have my natural instincts that say something's fishy here. You know, something doesn't feel right or set right with me. Of course, when you're younger, you know, you don't have a lot of experience of doing research, or really, how do you find the truth when you feel something isn't true that you're being told? And it can be quite a shock, as we have discussed on the shows many times. Well, when you start really going into those rabbit holes or deeper research or so on, then you have those aha moments, or there's a validation there that, well, what you were feeling or sensing actually was real, and you were told a lie. But it seems to be quite broad and quite a lot of tentacles, and I feel like we have been blatantly lied to about history, certainly, and even about our own origins as humanity, as humans, you know. And so what do you do with all this, right? I mean, I think it's important that we know, find our sources that feels, you know, like it feels right to us, the energy around what we're being told. And that's the discernment, of course. We have to learn how to discern truth from lies and so on. But again, I have to reiterate, the indoctrination has well worked where people's discernment tool or abilities or sensory, you know, or intuitive and natural intuitiveness has been dumbed out of us, and we question ourselves rather than question the authorities.
Yeah.
We constantly question ourselves. We doubt ourselves, we doubt our own instinct, we doubt our own inner wisdom, and that's part of the agenda too. So meanwhile, oh, the lies about our history, the lies about our origins. You know, I have to go to the ancient people. I kind of like sense more connectedness of truths and things with our ancient people, the ancestors, for instance. You know, and I can only speak to, you know, what I know from my indigenous relatives, from my ancestors in that direction. And yes, many of indigenous peoples speak about the giants, the existence of the giants. You know, they speak about many things, of course, the little people. And, you know, a whole nation of little people, you know, a reality of little people. And you go to the Easter Island or the place where the Maori live and those giant statues, the people there, the Indian people there, the elders there speak about how they know how those things were moved across the lands. Okay, these are monolithic structures. And they said that these giant structures, these giant statues, walked across the land. That's what they saw, the ancient people. Now, you're talking about oral history. So oral history is nothing written in a book. Our people, the early people, didn't have books that were written by authorities to tell them certain things, but they used oral history. And when you have oral history of your origins and the things that happened to your people through generations and generations, it's sort of like your mind is well developed, because it's a truth telling that you were told over and over and over again from the time that you were small, probably from the time you're in your mom's belly. You are hearing the stories of the elders, and these are not fantasies, these are not myths. And I said, yeah, the word myth is one of the biggest lies that we were given, you know. And I've always felt that the so-called myths and fairy tales and stories, they're just, you know, make-believe, right? And I know that I can only speak from my own experiences, and the ancient people or the elders in our indigenous cultures speak the truth to things, and they would share information only about something that was factual. They didn't make up fairy tales or stories, you know, and when you have oral history, this is sort of like an impacting knowledge and wisdom that is carried through generation after generation after generation. And it doesn't defer in any way. It's succinct. It's distinct. It continues throughout generations, the truth of what is really going on. You know, so we're looking at the lies that we have been told, you know, in our history books or history itself or the beginning of this earth or how it was formed or who was here, who wasn't here, what happened, you know, all written in books by man, of course. I go more trending towards what are the elders telling us, what are the ancient peoples, because that's, they're carrying the oral history. And they speak about, you know, the alien, or in the people that I know, the elders that I know, speak of these ETs as star relatives. They are our star relatives. Now, they are teachers, and they are guides, and they come from the stars. And this has been part of the oral history in many ancient cultures, not just Indian people, but you have the Egyptians, you have various other early cultures that showed us signs of, you know, visitors. And then you have, well, who built the pyramid thing? Then you have the ridiculousness of the tourist guide brochure on Easter Island saying that those big monolithic structures, the tonnage that is unbelievable, were rolled across the land on sweet potatoes. I mean, that's actually written in the tourist guide, and I can just see the tourist going, oh, look, honey, they use sweet potatoes to roll those monolithic structures across the island. You know, I mean, that's the absurdity of it, and people believe it. No, those beings were living statues. They were, you know, entity energies, frequencies. They were beings, and they moved across the land on their own. This is what the elders say. I'm tending more towards believing in that. I've certainly seen extraordinary things in my life. I've seen miracles occur. I've seen the spirit of the tree people. I've seen many things along those lines. I'm tending to go with the ancient people, our relatives, our ancestors, the elders who hold more of the truth. And they didn't speak the truth for, during the time of the European conquering here, the Manifest Destiny that appeared here on Turtle Island. The Indian people started to keep their truths and their knowledge quiet and silent, and you can't blame them. Because, first of all, they were called demons, they're demon worshippers, and they were told, basically the Pope gave them the permission, if they weren't Christians, then you just slaughter them and take their land anyway. So for many, many years, hundreds of years, the Indian people didn't tell their secrets, didn't speak to the truth, to outsiders, of course. You know, now today, it's been maybe about 20 years now, they are starting to speak the truth, because not only are they concerned about what is going on this earth, and perhaps the stresses and on what's going on in nature, the lives of people, but all people. And now they're starting to speak about the prophecies, the information that they have gotten, and what they have held for centuries, you know. So I tend towards listening to them rather than, I'm going to say, authorities, the European conquerors' authority, or the political authorities, or the systems authorities that are telling us this, that, and the other thing. So yeah, about the giants, yes, they all know, the ancient people all know about the giants, you know, that's for sure. And they all know about the ET visitors, yes, they're called the Wiktropi Oyate in our Lakota tradition, our star relatives, you know. I have had my own personal experiences with our star relatives since childhood. Now, then there's an intrusive faction here, because when you have an authoritarian system that learns various technologies and learns things and uses them against their own people, which we know is factual, and then they start talking about, all that they know as real truth and fact and so on. Oh, there are no UFOs. Oh, no. There's no such thing as that, you know. And I have said, I don't need the government, I don't need the authorities to tell me that there are ancient beings, that there are visitors from other planets. I don't need them to tell me that. I don't need them to disclose this information. I know my own truth. I've had my own experiences. I'm not going to listen to them. They want you to be dumb. They don't want you to know the truth. They are manipulating you. You know, I had this link. I mean, this is just one thing. One thing. In researching, okay, and you want to find out the truth, you have to do your research, you know, and you have to find what sings to your heart spirit. And I mean by that, I mean energetically. We tell the truth, we know the truth, rather, by energy, by frequency. When someone is lying, well, that's a different frequency. It's a different energy. When someone is dark, well, that's a different energy. That's a different frequency. So if your ability to discern frequencies, you know, and energies is high, you'll be able to tell the truth. Tell what is being told as truth. So this is lies about World War II and the lying liars who told them. You know, that's just one tiny little piece of the big lie and all the wars that we have been led to, a part of the game and the authority, you know. It's sort of like the authorities, the system that we are under, lies to us, have been lying to us about every war, why we're in the war, and lying to us about everything, about our origin, and beyond, I'm just saying. You have the exposing the secret history of giants and the underground Hyperborean gallery in Romania. Well, this is just another link I put up. But again, it's sort of like exposing the lies, the secret history. And you asked a question, why would they lie to us about giants on the land? You know, I mean, why would they lie to us, period? Well, because they want to control everything. They want us to believe in a very narrow field of everything, so that they can control us. Well, what would happen? What would happen if they told us, yeah, there were giants? There were really giants, you know?
It's a good question.
What would we all do? Run around hysterical and start jumping off cliffs? I don't know.
Speaking of questions, I want to slap the bee's nest and challenge a question. I want to, or a comment in the chat room. Chris Maresh typed in, Bible goes off of Roman mythology, comes from the Greek. And so I'm wanting to ask Chris, what what, you know, how do you know this for sure that that's where it actually, you know, originated from? Because there's actually two different stories where, you know, well, there's a story where about the Greek gods, obviously, but there's also a story where the biblical God come up against the Romans and, you know, basically told, you know, the Romans to let their people go and such. So there's all these different stories, but either way, I'm trying to say, you know, how do you know for sure that the Bible goes off the Roman mythology, which comes from Greek? So, you know, you got all this research out there, you can read all these books, and you can see what other people say, but can you truly trust that all these people prior weren't involved in let's call it a cover up, the conspiracy of the true history of the world? See, that's the thing. You know, I can't sit here and say that I know one way or another anything. I don't know the truth of nothing because I question everything because of the world that we live in today. There are those who don't want us to know certain things. There's things that they don't teach people in school. He said it's not originating from. Okay, so maybe you give me a little bit better. It mentioned Rome's God. Yeah, well, yeah, they're that's what I'm saying. That's why my theory of the thing about how all of it could have been true, the Greek gods, the biblical gods, the giants on the land, and all that, you know, even the fallen angels, or maybe those fallen angels were aliens from outer space. I don't know. But if you step back and you look at the big picture, and you could put all this in context with it together, the Bible talked about giants. All right, other religious groups around the world talked about giants. Every other nations talked about floods. You know, there's a whole bunch of stuff, and even to the extent of aliens from outer space, there are certain things drawn on walls or artwork that just so happen to look like what we would classify as a UFO, or even to the extent of in one picture it looks like a Black Hawk helicopter was inscribed on the wall. So it could very well be that the history that we know isn't even nowhere near what the real truth is. So I'm just trying to figure it all out. Yeah, so when I'm asking you, how do you know for sure? I'm not trying to be, you know, contrary or anything, or trying to be nasty about it. I'm just saying, asking you how would you know that the information that you got was, you know, credible? I mean, it could sound plausible. A lot of things sound plausible in this world. Even what I say about the Bible references, they sound plausible. The whole entire scenario, the way I explained it out, you know, the Greek gods, the Titans, the Bible, all of that, even the flood and everything that was all that history, when you step back and put it all in perspective, it looks like it all blends in. Those pieces of the puzzle look like they fit. But how do I know that any of those stories were even remotely close to what the reality really was? It could have been, you know, somebody's, you know, it's like this. If you want to start a conspiracy theory or something like that, or a rumor, you could put some information down and people think they found the secret information, and so they start putting two and two together and the puzzle pieces fit. But the truth of the matter is, it was somebody who wanted to guide or manipulate you into some way of thinking or another. Why would they hide giants? Why would they hide anything like any biblical things, or even Jesus for that matter? Because if, for example, there was a Satan and the Satan didn't want you to know that there was a God, well, then that would probably be what you'd want to do. Hide yourself, hide God, and so, you know, there, bam, you got atheists now. There ain't nobody who believes in God. So I ain't saying one way or another. I'm just trying to throw all these things out there to get your minds ticking, and, you know, the little gears are going and the light bulbs to come on. Maybe something ain't the way it was said. You know, when I listen to you, Barbara, talk about Turtle Island, I think about the biblical way that the island, about way, the biblical way that the earth is mentioned in the Bible, how it's standing on pillars, and some people believe there's actually a firmament above it. You know, the Bible talks about the waters of the heavens and the waters below, so we could be living in a dome standing on pillars, basically like a snow globe. And from when every time I hear you talk about Turtle Island, I think about, you know, a civilization living on the back of a turtle. Now, I hope I'm not taking that out of context, but that's the visual that I get. But it's not much different than the reference of standing on pillars, if that makes any sense. What do you think?
Well, there's so much I'm thinking about here as you're talking. First of all, you know, the term conspiracy theory, right off the bat, we have to understand that that was set up by the CIA to basically shoot us down, or shoot people who are questioning, or shoot people who find some truth, shoot them down, right? It stick to their program, stick to their protocol, okay? So the conspiracy theory game, okay, is on, and it was created by the, you know, the CIA. That's something we found out, of course. You know, so the thing is about what I wanted to say about why I go to the old people. Okay, I'm in connection with the Kogi people. Now, why do I mention the Kogi? The Kogi live in the Sierra Nevada de Santa Marta. When the Spanish came to their lands over 500 years ago, okay, they desecrated and, you know, murdered and violated the people there. Well, there was a faction of the Indian people there called the Kogi that fled into the mountains and were never seen again for 500 years. 500 years, okay, nobody knew they existed, and they were isolated away from any influences of the Western civilization. No influence at all. They maintained what we call their law of origins. All the truths and all the facts and all the wisdoms that they had were not interfered with, like other indigenous peoples have experienced that intrusion, right? And of course, through religions, they've been intruded upon and so on and so forth. There are others, like the Hopi, a certain faction of the Hopi people, they too maintained, and they were also isolated, but not like the Kogi. Now, the Kogi that I know, okay, speak of the time. So when in their beginnings of time on the earth, they say they lived on the earth, they have lived on the earth when the gods walked on this earth, okay? And they speak of the mother as the creator, right? Now, they're not the only ones that speak of the mother as the creator. There are other Indian people who do the same, and the Hopi is one of them and others. So they have certain information, okay, that they have had, of course, their oral histories, again, throughout time, over 500 plus years, they have this knowledge and wisdom, and they are the type of people who, I guess you want to say, have the ability to, what we call, let me see, sort of like you use the oracles or the wisdoms of the ancient people that are no longer on the earth. They have the connectedness to spirit. They have their relationship. And the other thing that I want to mention is the Indian nation people were closest to nature. Okay, they were not influenced. They were the last to be influenced, because all over Europe and all other peoples were influenced long before the Europeans came here to Turtle Island. They lost their connectedness to the earth. They lost their original instructions. The people here, the Indian people here on Turtle Island, maintained their original instructions and their connectedness to nature and the truth of these things. Long, long they held on to it until finally that was taken when the Europeans came here, and that was totally, you know, started to be chipped away at and so on. And then the division happened even between the tribes, where some of them are Methodists, some of them now are Catholics, some of them are Baptists. And they strayed away, they were deliberately basically pushed away, taken away from their true nature, their true origins of their connectedness to the earth and to Great Spirit, Creator, Wong Han Tonka, and every tribe here on Turtle Island had their own name and so forth for the Great Spirit, for what people call a god. They were very highly spiritual and very highly and deeply connected to the earth and the source of truth and life. then that was intruded upon, right? So why I'm saying I go to the old people, why I go to the indigenous truths, is because they are the oldest ones that have kept this knowledge that was given to them by the Great Spirit, by Creator originally. And why I say, well, all people, black, red, yellow, and white, all were given this knowledge, and all were connected to the earth, the mother, their nature, and source, of course. Now we know incrementally, well, somebody had a plan. It's a dirty plan, you know. It is an agenda, and it's a dirty plan. And we could identify those persons, you know, who have started this. You could go all the way back to, well, if you want to give a name, you could go all the way, go back to Satan, the fallen angel, whatever, okay, who wanted to be God and who corrupted things in the heavens and then was told to go down to the earth, you bad person, now you go down to the earth. You have a reign there of 1,000 years, and you can mess with the people. You can see how many people you can corrupt and convert to your beliefs and your truths. I'm just, you know, saying there's stuff going on here that is biblical but also factual in a lot of ways. And you talk about the flood. Now, the flood is a known fact throughout all different ancient histories. You talk about the appearance of Jesus, Yeshua. Now, and I have spoken about this before, throughout ancient history, there is the story prior to when Jesus appeared 2,000 years ago of a person that came to here, Turtle Island, even to Peru, and other places that they called, basically, they described as identical to Yeshua, identical in appearance, and also the same teachings, okay, that Jesus brought. We have the peacemaker here on Turtle Island who came. The Indian people described that peacemaker as identical to Yeshua, long before they even knew about Yeshua or Jesus, right? He was described the same way. In Peru, it was Viracocha, called the Creator God, who came to Lake Titicaca in a sphere of light. He appeared to the people there identical to what we know as how Jesus appeared. They spoke about the appearance of this Viracocha long before they knew of Jesus, even the knowledge of this person called Jesus. They spoke of his teachings identical, the same, and on and on and on. So that's why we have to look at all, you know, ancient wisdom, ancient knowledge, ancient teachings. And I kind of like tend to really believe those people because they weren't indoctrinated by Western influence. They weren't yet taken by, you know, the indoctrination and the agenda and so on. And some of them still today maintain they're still distanced like the Kogi from these indoctrinations. And I believe them when they say they lived on the earth when the gods walked on the earth. I believe them when they say that they have received guidance and information from the beings and the ancestors, okay, in what they call the Aluna. In other words, they are travelers, okay? They are travelers and they are connected to these sources of information. That's where I get my source of information, but I also don't just accept it. I go to my own intuitive connectedness, my own sensory experiences about using the energy. Is this the truth? Is this a lie? Because truths have a energy. Lie has an energy. They're different. They're completely different. We have that tool, and this is how I feel we seek and find the truth of things. Now, my truth, what I have come to realize is true through these energies, through these frequencies, okay, and source, may not be yours, and that's fine too. But what I'm saying is there has been an influence, a deliberate influence, to dumb us down and to disconnect us from our own wisdom, from our own manner of finding truth and wisdom, from our own connectedness to source. And we have been indoctrinated with lies right across the board. The whole thing, the history, our beginnings, our origins, and everything that you could ever think of, we have been lied to about. And we have been indoctrinated from a very young age in school. Our parents were indoctrinated. Our great parents were indoctrinated with the same lies, the same authoritarian system. I don't care who you call those authoritarians, but they have been in place for a very long time manipulating things. And why is that? Well, they have a plan. Well, what is their plan? You know, their plan is basically to control us and basically be on top of the pyramid and have all the goods flowing in their direction. talk about gold. Well, you know, the protocols of the learned elders of Zion, if you want to go through that again, they have their protocols. And one of them is about gold. Gold is the key piece for them. And controlling the minds of people. Indoctrinating us with alcohol and with drugs. That's one of the main things. Where did all that come from? You know, this overuse, this drugging of the society. The lies about religion, the controlling of the minds and the spirits and the bodies of humanity, the polluting the bodies and the minds and the spirits of humanity, to weaken us, okay? Go ahead. This is the whole plan. This is the idea. So the Turtle Island, the story of the Turtle Island, yeah, that's very, it is almost like the stories, well, it was, the Earth itself was a turtle. And the whole Earth, originally in this way, was the turtle. But yes, when we look about the creation of Turtle Island, the Ojibwe version, there's many indigenous peoples who have this knowledge and this wisdom to speak about this island, this world as the turtle, the great mother turtle. And also now here we are on Turtle Island. I think it's because this was the last bastion of the truth. And the Indian people's ways, connectedness to source, nature, and they held the sacred hoop in harmony and balance, and then they were assaulted, and I guess I'd say, well, 1890, the massacre at Wounded Knee was the end. That was the final end, and the Tree of Life was desecrated, the sacred hoop was desecrated, and the wave of lies and corruption, the waves of manipulation, and so on and so forth, started, you know, made its... It's complete throughout the whole world. Turtle Island was the last. So yes, you sort of like the stories talk about how the Earth was formed. That's the Turtle Island, the creation of Turtle Island, the birth of North America they speak about. You know, there's a whole story. I'll pass this to you people. This is only one nation, by the way. Many nations here, indigenous nations, have their story, the origin story, creation story, regarding the turtle. And I just popped this in into you guys. Now, Chris asked me, well, way back, he put in, how do you contact him? And I say, he says, the sky people. Well, you know, yeah, how do you contact them? Well, it's a whole other thing there. You're asking. Since I was a child, I had been in contact with them. They chose to contact me, is what I'm saying. I know people who have gone out and gone out and gone out for months, years, and so on, sitting out waiting for the UFO to come, waiting for the ETs to come, and so on, and it never happens. I think there's a reason why that is, and I think there's a reason why some are contacted. There's something we call the secret school. Okay, the secret school is that you are actually contacted very early on as a child, which I was, and many people were. Now, it doesn't have to be as a child, but in my particular case, I was contacted by the star people. Okay, I'm not going to call them ETs, but by the star people. I was told that I was a star child, and I was given lots of different information, and there is this thing called the secret school. And Whitley Strieber talks about the secret school because that man had his own experiences with ETs, I'm going to say, not the star people, but with ETs. Now, we have allies of humanity, and then we have the ETs that are not so nice people. Well, I'm calling them people, but entities, okay? Then we have the intrusive manipulation of the government finding the technology, for instance, of how to build spaceships. Well, I guess you'd say the Nazis were the forerunners of that. They had that technology. But then you have the connectedness of what happened with President Eisenhower. Was it Eisenhower or Truman? One of them. I think it was Eisenhower, who actually was visited during his presidency by ETs. Then you have the Indian people who say that were the blue feather people, who were the good ETs or good star people who came, and they offered the President of the United States, okay, help with technology and a betterment for all nations, right? They would give them the technology. And Eisenhower was curious and interested, but as soon as the blue feather people the star people said, we have, but you have to do away with and do an end your nuclear testing and your nuclear interests. And of course, the president said, well, we're not going to do that. Okay, so this is the story of the Indian people, the elders who told this. And so the blue feather people, star people, left because they were unsuccessful in convincing the president of the United States to stop the nuclear proliferation and studies and so on. Well, who showed up next? Well, supposedly the Greys. The Greys are ETs, okay? They are not the, I'm going to say, they are not your allies. They are not the nice ones. And they offered technology and advancement in technology to the United States. But their request was, if we give you this technology, we want something from you. Well, there's always that now, isn't there? So what they wanted was permission from the United States. Well, they didn't really need permission, but what they wanted was, they wanted the agreement that the United States would never disclose that they existed and that people were actually being abducted. They wanted free rein to abduct the people, the citizenry of the United States, without being disclosed by the government. Well, that was agreed upon. The only problem is that the ETs, the Greys, said that they would only be taking a few, a certain number, I guess, right? And, well, that was agreed upon, but they, of course, didn't follow that rule, and it got way out of hand. So now you have that faction going on. So you have to be very careful when you say, how do you contact these people, or how do you contact the, you know, the beings? I'm just saying. I'm not going to advocate how to do that. I think it's very important. I will say, I think it's very important that you, if you're interested, Chris, develop your connectedness to nature, to the realm in nature, which is your true nature, which is our true nature. It is to be developing that, to strengthening that, to make sure you are building that connectedness and that relationship, because the spirit is in with everything. And these beings, like the little people, they exist in nature. I have had experiences with the little people from the time I was a child. And so I'm just saying that would be a good start. Without your demand or command or focus to just connect with ETs or the star people is what I'm saying. You have to be very careful in everything that you do, you know, because that's why you have to use your discernment. Is this what I'm seeing here of the light, or is this something that is dark? You have to be very careful. We have to be very careful. I'm just saying, so I don't mean to discourage you. I'm trying to encourage you in a good way of how to begin, and it's basically up to them if they want to contact you. I can't say, oh, you're going to be successful in contacting them. But I will say it's a good place to start to develop your connectedness to creation. I'm going to say which is harmonious and spiritual, and to be very aware of the dark and the negative, because they exist everywhere. So I'm just saying.
Well, while you're just saying, I was trying to look up where the actual word God came from, and man, you wouldn't believe the division in the world about, you know, just that word alone. It's just mind-blowing, and you know, some of the hatefulness that comes about. You know, it doesn't matter to me where the actual word come from. I'm curious to know where it came from. You know, I believe in a higher power. I believe there is a, you know, the terminology, the only terminology I know is to use the word God. All right, God,
well,
creator.
Well, there are gods. In the Bible, of course, it says there were gods, okay? And then you have the ancient myths, of course, the myths, which I don't believe they're myths, I believe they are factual, speak about the gods, the war of the gods who walk the earth, and so on and so forth. You have all these, you know, yeah, I don't know particularly where the name, that particular name arrived from. It's, I think it is very ancient, but we are told a lot of things. Yeah, we're told by authorities. Okay, for instance, like Angeline Pudding. Hi, Angeline, good to see you. That all monsters come from the id. Well, you know what? Who told you that? Who wrote that? What authority? I'm just saying. Well, this is where we have to be careful, right? I mean, we are told to believe this. We are told, well, that's why that happened. We are told that the monolithic structures on Easter Island were transported by rolling them along sweet potatoes, and people believe that.
Yeah, so it brings back the big question once again. Why wouldn't they want us to know how they really got there? Why wouldn't they want us to know who really built the pyramids? Maybe they don't even know themselves.
You know why?
But
I have a theory on that. They don't want us to know the power and the abilities that we were originally given. They don't want us to have this ability.
Well, that makes perfect sense to me. That makes more sense to me than anything else, because if you knew your true origin, if you knew your true capabilities, then you couldn't be controlled as easily. Am I wrong?
Well, if you are weak in your beliefs, if you are weak in your wisdom and weak in your ability, your knowledge, and even the gifts that you were given, they win. They are in control. They are in control of you, your mind, your body, and most of all, your spirit. Okay, this is, to me, it's simple. It's not a mystery. Why would somebody want you to be dumbed down and not have your own power that God or Creator, Great Spirit, gave to you? For self-healing, for instance, okay? Or to commune with nature on a level that the ancient people did, to receive true guidance and the knowledge and wisdom that we need to live a life of joy and peace here.
Yeah.
They want us pitted against each other. They want us to know that and believe that we are insignificant, that we are stupid and powerless. That's to me, is a simple answer. You know, that is what the whole plan is. They want to win. They want to be top dog. They want all the money, the gold. They want the control of your mind, your body. They want the enslaved. They need us to be enslaved. And if you are know your power and you know your sacredness, you're not going to be that slave. You will not be a slave.
So the Egyptians had gods, the Romans had gods, all of these stories that you know, were in that book, they all seem to blend in as far as I'm concerned, as far as you know, the true history of mankind. But once again, it's still the big question is, how do you trust anything that was written in any book by any man? If one book is questionable, then to me, it's only logical that all of them are questionable. And so I kind of go back to what you were saying earlier about how you trust the elders more than you trust the doggone educators. Because, you know, we don't even know the true history of the world. There's been events that goes on. There were more wars than I knew that were, you know, America was involved in. And of course, other nations in the world had their secrets as well, but you know, somebody said that the person who wins the battle is the one who gets to write the history of that battle. So, you know, whoever writes the history books, do you trust them? I don't trust them. I don't trust the history. You know, I look at the pyramids and I got questions. I got real big questions, scientifically wise. Okay, how'd they do that back then with bronze or brass or copper tools? You know, even during the Iron Age, how did they do that back then? Whatever, however it came to be, it still poses questions that it haven't been answered to my satisfaction, at least, or, you know, how these things even came to pass. But you look at it in the biblical reference, it makes sense that there was a higher power, whether we call him God or Creator or whatever, that, you know, all these stories in there about the fallen angels and them coming down and mating with the daughters of men and producing offspring, and these offspring become the titans, and so all the Greek gods and all the Egyptian gods, and you know, yeah, I'd even go as far as to say in India and everywhere else in the world that the same exact thing. There was a lot going on in those days. That today, if you was watching it on TV, it'd be like one of the sci-fi movies or mythology movies or whatever. It could very well be that every single one of them were right. You know, it could be that they all were wrong as well. I mean, they could very well have been aliens that come down and had the primitive man convinced that they were gods from, you know, the heavens or whatever. I mean, if the society was super advanced at one point, and then something happened to either they had a world war and destroyed the entirety of society, or there was a massive ice age that basically caused everybody to flee into the mountains and underground or whatever, and you had to start off fresh every single time from what we would classify as the caveman era, and you had to start working your way back up to society again. It would take you quite a long time to get back up there, but once you did get up there, and then you turn around, you get too big for your head, you start using your technology wrong, and you start wiping each other out and blow it all up again, and then, you know, it resets itself over and over and over again. So there could have been society after society going back to billions of years or whatever, or it could very well have played out exactly the way the book said, and then it was created, you know, 6 or 7,000 years ago. How would you know? Literally, how could you even know? Like I said, I haven't been to space. I haven't been far enough away from this world to look back at it, take a real honest look and see what it looks like, and tell you what shape it actually is. I've never been on the moon, I've never been on the doggone Mars or any place like that, so I couldn't, me personally could not tell you. And just because somebody who wears a white coat or is a scientist or an astronaut or even a government official, and even thousands if not millions of people who believed that a certain story was true, just because they believe that doesn't mean that I'm going to, you know, believe it as well. I don't fall into the groupthink, if that makes any sense. I refuse to just believe anything haphazardly just because many, many, many people believe it. I mean, there's people that say there are so many people in the world who believe in God. They believe in Jesus Christ, all right? They believe in the Bible. There's a lot of people that believe that. But just because they do don't mean that that's what I necessarily believe or why I believe what I believe. I'm kind of like more like I live in what they call the show me state. You got to show me what's what. But every bit of information that I've gathered throughout my life, I have to go on faith that what I believe is close to the truth. In reality, none of us, if we want to be intellectually honest with each other, none of us know the exact truth of anything. Now, like I said, going back to what you said, Barbara, I would be more apt to believe my grandfather and my grandmother of the story that they tell as opposed to, you know, reading it in a book or on the internet on some website. I would believe the elders more than I would believe anybody else. You know, but, you know.
Well, I want to talk about a little bit more about my personal experiences, and I understand or understand how it's difficult for people to actually accept what I'm talking about in certain circumstances because they have not perhaps had these experiences.
Well, I have no problem believing in what you're talking about or even knowing.
Well, you've had your own experiences, but because you have had these experiences, what I also want to add is we cannot forget the indoctrination. The rampant indoctrination to disbelieve the things that I am sharing with you. I get that. And so, but you cannot tell me, okay, because you don't know me and you don't really know my personal experiences. No one has the right to tell me that what I'm saying I experience is in my mind or isn't true or is impossible.
I agree, right? 100%.
But I get why they're saying that, because they have not had the types of experience I have, and perhaps it is because they have been indoctrinated by, like many have, to disbelieve this. You know, for instance, and I teach people, actually, it's part of what I've been doing for over 30-some years, is teaching people how to see the spirit within things. It's not just a blade of grass, or it's not just a tree, but there is a spirit, a living spirit there in everything. I have had my personal awesome, amazing, miracle experiences, and I share some of them. And I know, listen, I'm not dumb. I know that there are people out there who have good hearts, who are good people, and they doubt what I am saying because they, number one, may have been indoctrinated to disbelieve anything that I am saying, and or they have not had their personal experience because of that indoctrination. When you say, if you go out into the woods or you go out into a field and you sit there and you look at the grass, and I'm paraphrasing here, and Angeline mentioned this, and this is important what Angeline said. Okay, he says if you go out and sit in the field and you look at the grass, you know, that's all you're seeing. It's only grass, okay? But, you know, actually, there's so much out there. The mystery, we call it the mystery, but there is a spirit in everything. And it is not just the grass, okay? But some people don't have these experiences or they're indoctrinated. No, that's only grass. Okay, that tree, this is what a tree is. You're told from early education. This is what a tree is, this is the color of the tree, and that's it, period. Okay? But I'm just saying that there is so much more to this world, to this life, to this creation, and we have been indoctrinated to only see it in a very small way, limited way, and to believe certain things. So I get it when people say, listen to me talking about my experiences that are, you know, like pretty amazing and miracles, but also people would say, you know, it's phenomenon and how can you prove it, that they are unable to accept or believe what I am saying. And that's okay. But I kind of feel that it's because they've not had these experiences. And the reason they may not have had these experiences is because they've indoctrinated to disbelieve anything other than what, oh, that's a blade of grass, that's a tree, and that's it, period. Just saying.
It could very well be that each and every individual out there creates their own reality, you know. I'm not saying this is the way that it is, but it could very well be that every single person who believes in anything is right. It could be that doggone simple. That whatever you formulate in your mind...
And I'm not saying they should believe what I'm saying. Absolutely not. I'm just sharing my perspective on why I think that there is an inability for many people to see the miracles or to experience a miracle. But they also, I think, I'm going to say, I don't think they have a right to say to me that it's in my mind that I'm imagining this. They don't walk in my shoes. They have not, you know what I'm saying?
I think the best place to be in the world that we live in today, knowing what we know and how little of that we actually really know is truth or not, is that we keep our minds wide open to any possibility. You know, any possibility. It don't matter
what...
Well,
we are told... Well, this is what... I agree with you, but then we're indoctrinated to keep our minds wide closed.
Well, yeah, we're given limitations, you know?
And this is what we've been told... This is what we've been talking about right off the bat. That's what the title of our show is. How do we know the truth of anything?
Yeah.
You know, is it all a lie? Yeah. Well, just who you are, I'm talking to everyone out there, I'm going to tell you, and I believe this is true, and this is where I'm standing strong, you are an awesome, significant, sacred child. And you have more amazing gifts and awesome power than you could ever imagine, and I can just feel the energy out there with certain people that wah, wah, wah. She doesn't know what she's talking about, and they're indoctrinated to disbelieve their sacredness.
Well,
that to me
I'm a guy who studied science all my life, and I still to this day question the moon landing because I wasn't able to get the answers that I needed to know. Like, I asked a simple question. I said, what type of batteries did they use in 1969 that were capable of running essentially a individual spacesuit, which is basically an individual ship or, you know, whatever, because you have to think, they say that it's over 200 and some odd degrees Fahrenheit in the sun, and it's 200 and some odd degrees negative in the shade. And this is an instantaneous deal. You step out in the sun, you get real hot real fast. And so you're in this spacesuit that they showed on TV, and you have to have a power supply in there that's able to switch back and forth and be able to keep you hot when you need to be hot and cold when you need to be hot, and be able to regulate that, plus run your batteries, your lighting systems, your communications and all that, and be able to do it for the length of time that they were actually on the moon. So I'm asking these questions, and NASA groupies, which basically act like religious followers of any given religion out there, they just went off. They got all kinds of crazy. Oh, you just want somebody else to do your research. No, if you been studying this for a long time and you know the answer, what's going to hurt you to show me what it is so I can do some research on it? I'm in alternative energy.
Now, wait a second now. Okay, you're asking quite a simple, good question, and right away you meet a stone wall and attacks. Well, guess what? The CIA did their job very well.
Yeah.
You are a conspiracy nutcase.
Yeah.
Therefore, they just flick you off and delete you.
Just for asking.
One of them who questions.
For asking a question about batteries. That doesn't even go into the other questions that I had, like how, three guys could be in this small capsule, because I went to and I stood in one of the I don't know if it's a replica or, another model of it, but I stood in there and I'm 6'2", and I would have had a leg cramp like, you know what, and a couple days in that thing, I've been done gone insane. But either way, I asked these questions, and I also asked the questions about, video things and pictures and stuff like that, why we haven't been back since. Now, I can't honestly say we did not go. But I also, if they can't answer a simple question, is why we got drone technology right now. Why can't we land these drones on the moon? Because we've done it before. But they said they lost all the data, the telemetry data, of the most important day in the history of mankind. They lost it. They said they lost it.
Oh my gosh!
So how do you do that? Well, if you land on the moon back then and you lose all the data and you can't figure out how to get back there, we have to rebuild it and it's a painful process is what he said. But this was an astronaut that said this. And so here we are in the year 2020. We should be able to put drones up there with cameras where you could actually get on the internet and fly them around and explore and look around at stuff, or whatever. But
here's a conspiracy for you. They already are back up there, and they already are on other planets. They already have technology beyond our imagining. They've already done it, and been there, and so on. I'm just saying, that's my little conspiracy rant for
the moment. In the reverse of that, is the reason why I'm questioning what happened back in 1969 is because they want me to not know that they actually went back up there. So if I doubt that they went there to begin with, I wouldn't believe the possibility of them being there now.
Well, they were probably there before the moon landing. I'm just saying. They were probably long there, and they just gave us that little taste of that little cookie. Here's a cookie for you.
Do you see how twisted that road is? How easy it would be to convince the world of something?
Hey, we have our sister here with us.
Hi, Patty.
Hey, guys.
Hey, sis.
What do you really know about the world, about the history of our world?
Not a freaking thing.
There you go, that's all. See you later, guys.
Well,
we're done.
That's it. We said it. That's all we need to say. I'm just
for
trying
sure.
to figure it
now,
out.
Now, if you want me to give you my opinions, if you want me to give you my suppositions that I've come up with, I can do that, but if you want the truth, it's so far out of reach. I mean,
we're not going to get the truth.
Patty, what is it that you think?
Authorities.
What is it that you think that is as close to reality as you can get to?
Well, see, I have this analytical mind. I also have this strong spiritual aspect to myself, so I'm always looking at I'm jumping on both sides, you know. So I see science and I say, well, science makes sense. And the things that they say make sense. Energy transference makes sense. Biology makes sense. All these things make sense. But then I've got the spiritual aspect too, which all things are possible. All things are possible in the realm of energy, in the realm of the ability of energy to move and to become. We channel energy through cords, you know. We channel energy through the airwaves. We channel energy through lasers. We do all of this. The sun, you know. So energy to me is the only truth I can go back on, because everything else is supposition. We have these Sumerian tablets, and I really think that they hold a lot of truth as to our beginnings. But can I prove it? No. No, won't happen. I have my ideas about what the Garden of Eden really was. I have my ideas about how we came to be in this truth of this day today. I also know that there is something greater than this physical realm, and it resides within me, and I have a open channel to it, and I always will. I know this, I feel this, I experience this, like Barb was talking about earlier. There are things that we experience that can't be explained. They just can't be explained. And these things happen on a daily basis across the globe to different people at different times. Are they not true? Does that mean that everything that we think is not true? Does that mean that we don't really know? Well, to me, what it says is that, and again, you know, I refer a lot to the Bible because it's the most written, you know, it's the most read religious text that there is. But doesn't it say in there that all things are possible, that through the Christ consciousness or whatever, that all things are possible? And in my life, I have seen enough on both sides of the scope, you know, in the physical realm as well as the spiritual realm, to know that indeed all things are possible. It is what we determine, what we decide. You know, someone who believes in good and evil being a devil with horns and a god on a throne is going to put their energy and their spiritual energy into that, and they're going to see a devil with horns and they're going to see a god on a throne. Does it mean it's not real? Does it mean it's not real? No. To that individual, it is real. It's as real as it gets, because they are the ones who are manifesting. There you go.
But you're not talking about you're imagining it. I have had experiences.
No.
I am not.
I'm talking
imagining.
About giving the energy life
exactly.
through this system of belief in it. You know, I had experience, okay? I've had many, many, many experience that I can tell you that you cannot believe because you weren't there and you did not experience it. But
exactly.
It was real. It was real. And it did reach out and touch me. And I did feel it touch me. And I touched it. It doesn't exist at this moment. But it can at any moment. It's what we allow, you know, to me. That's just my opinion, just so.
Well, I'm holding in my hand a really nifty thing. It's called a geode. It's really amazing. These rocks, when you look at the outside of it, it's all dirty and crusty. And if you didn't know what was inside that rock, you wouldn't even have a clue that, you know, it was anything different than a dirty old rock. But whenever you crack that thing open and you look inside, there's these beautiful crystals in there, and it's just amazing how these could have been even formed. I said a long time ago that I would have loved to see this world when it was brand new, right straight off the factory shelf, so to speak, right straight off of creation. Could you imagine what it would have looked like? If you go look at it, the semi-precious stones and all the beautiful colors of those stones once they're polished, once those years and years of crud is off of them, this world must have been so incredibly beautiful, you know, like the Garden of Eden thing kind of thought there. It must have been so amazing. And then over the years, things changed and disasters and man tore all kinds of stuff up. And now we look at a world that's smoggy and all messed up. And I'd kind of like to see us somehow or another get us back to, you know, the stage where the world used to be what it was whenever it first started. I think about all these questions that we're asking here today and what we as individuals believe from all the information that we got. And what do we really know about the history of our world? Well, you can pick up that rock and you know for a fact that at some point in our history there were some really beautiful rocks on this world. That's just a rock. Water used to be so crystal clear. It must have been so incredibly healthy. And somehow or another, mankind formed all these nations and started fighting with one another and tearing everything up and making a mess out of stuff. And so if there were civilizations that were, you know, so incredibly advanced and they destroyed themselves multiple times over, and here we are today talking about the state of our world, is there nothing that we could learn from the past that would prevent us from making our future as beautiful as we possibly could, with exception of the fact that our past has actually quite literally been hidden from us? We don't know the truth of the past. You know, I got my ideas of what I believe, and, you know, everything like Patty said, everything like Barbara had. I said I've had experiences in my life that they were real. Everything that I believed in is real. I wouldn't tell you anything that would be, you know, just a flat out lie, you know, if I experienced it. I'm telling you, I really experienced it. And, you know, it doesn't match what the science book said. When it comes down to my alternative energy research, there have been events in my research that were beyond science, beyond physics, things that I saw. Now, you know, in science world, you could say that I electrocuted myself and I didn't see these things. I was just hallucinated or passed out on the floor. I did a few videos about this kind of stuff. I talked about a man on a hovering platform yelling at me for turning on a machine, and in the background I could see the doggone brand new pyramids. I could also feel the heat of the sun on my face. I could feel the spit coming off of his mouth as he was red-faced and yelling and pointing at me, telling me never turn that thing back on again. Now, did I electrocute myself? Did I hit the frequency that caused me to hallucinate and just make all this kind of stuff up because that's what I thought I saw? It was real. It was real. I was really standing there. Now, in your world, that sounds crazy. I get that, because we've been told forever and a day that things aren't possible.
That's the indoctrination.
But I've seen things, and I experienced things firsthand, that unless you got it on videotape, unless somebody's there to witness it, how do you explain this experience to somebody outside of just asking them a question? What do you believe? You know? Their indoctrination is going to say, I believe you're nuts, I believe you're on drugs. But I started explaining this to a friend of mine of what I experienced during that deal. And I mentioned some names that I had never heard before in my life. You know, because I'm a science guy. I'm not into aliens or ancient worlds or stuff like that. I'm interested in that kind of stuff, but that wasn't what my research was based upon. And so I didn't know these words. And I didn't even know that there were movies simulating some of the things that I never saw these movies. But anyway, I started explaining this to my friend. And, of course, he's into ancient aliens and stuff like that. Well, the moment I said a few key words, he said, "That's real." And I said, "What?" And he gets on the internet and he starts showing me stuff. And I said, "That looks similar to what I saw. But I've never heard of this before. I heard words like Anunnaki and one other one, Palladiums, something like that. And these things that I never knew before, I'm telling him. He's like, "Yeah, it's there." And he starts searching it up. And he was swearing up down, "Now you were really there." And, how would I to know? Seriously. You know, this wasn't something I made up. This was an experience that I then in turn shared out there on, YouTube, just to ask the question: Could this be real? You know, Tesla was doing all kinds of things with, different frequencies. We know that frequencies can affect you physically. You can actually get electrocuted. People have died and seen things, and then they were revived and told about things that they saw. So our brains in themselves are mysterious. Our spirit, our soul, whatever, people having out-of-body experiences. So maybe it's a case of every single person out there could very well be correct in the things that they believe in from the experiences they experience. How am I to say somebody didn't see Bigfoot? I wasn't there. Maybe they did see Bigfoot. You also got people out there that, have somebody dress up in a monkey suit and run through the woods and try to, to fake it or whatever. But that don't discount the other guy's story. He may be really seen them. Bigfoot may be real. The Loch Ness Monster. All these kind of things. The thing about it is, it still poses a question. What do we really know about the history of our world? In the situation that we're in right now, where we have access to the vast sum of all man's knowledge at our fingertips, and we can go down this rabbit hole, and we got people out there who believe things, so they'll write books about it, they'll write stories and blogs and do videos about it. One guy that did the mud flood, he believes that every 2,000 years that it's all reset. There's people who believe that Atlantis has been found. There's people who believe that all these different aliens had come down here at one time. There's people who believe that they live here right with us right now. And until it's like put right out in front of your face where it's irrefutable, undeniable, then you're not going to know. You're just not going to know. We live in a digital age to where you can take in a picture of me or anybody else, and you can take it into the computer and you can put me on the moon. I could be standing there on the moon holding up the peace sign, and you're like, "Wow, you were on the moon." But I wasn't. You see what I'm saying? I think this kind of like this whole entire situation, the way that they got it set up, is deliberately designed to keep us questioning everything, to keep us fighting and pitted against one another, to give us quite literally a headache and make us believe that we are insane so that we don't find the truth. What do you think?
Well, I think there will always be naysayers, and I don't need to prove anything to anybody. I went through that. I had people questioning me from very early on as a child, well, how do you know that, and so on and so forth. Well, again, there's this something that Patty and I talk about. There is something within us that is that sort of like an energy that we know without a doubt, because your internal question or your internal truth meter is activated when you are alert and connected, okay? When you are alert and connected to Source, that ability is very present, and other people don't have it because they've been indoctrinated to discount it or ignore it or doubt it. And this is why there will always be naysayers. That's why I said earlier, I don't need the government to disclose that there are ETs out there. I've had my own personal experiences, and I have sat with elders who also have had their own personal experiences through generations, I'm talking about, long before the white people ever came to this Turtle Island, long before the indoctrination, long before written books. They have had these experiences. I have had similar experiences. I don't need to prove my personal experiences to anybody, and I don't need to get anybody to believe me either. That's not what this is about. This is about sharing our experiences and sharing the mysteries and talking about the lies and why are we being lied to. Well, the indoctrination is very strong. It's very powerful. There will always be naysayers. There will always be people who stand in front of you when you speak a truth and they say to you, well, how do you know? So long ago, I stopped, I stopped sharing to people who are naysayers. I don't need them to believe me. I know my own truth, okay? And that's just the source and the ability that was given to me to know without a doubt. And I question. I'm not saying I don't question. I certainly have that tool as well. And I question through energy. I question through frequency. And that's what we should be doing, not using your monkey mind to tell me that I'm imagining something or that it's not true, because your monkey mind is indoctrinated to doubt anything that is real.
Your mind is so incredibly powerful. Everyone can close their eyes right now, and you can start thinking of things, and you can think about the smell, the touch, and all that, and you can formulate a movie in your mind right now without even going anywhere. So imagine what you could do if you was asleep, and I kind of think this sometimes sounds as crazy as all get out because of our indoctrination, but I think that whenever I go to sleep, I don't really necessarily, my body here sleeps, but I'm actually somewhere in another body, identical, and I'm living out a completely different life in a completely different place. I've been in many different houses that all belong to me in some alternate reality. So what's that mean? You know, I wake up in the morning and I'm not rested. I haven't slept. My mind feels like I've been traveling. I got like jet lag after I go to sleep. And my mind doesn't shut off. It just constantly, I'm seeing things in my mind. And, you know, of course, if you told that to a modern day psychiatrist, they'd have you locked up and medicated. But I'm good with what I see, with exception of, you know, what I see coming down the line, the future, our destiny path that we're on right now. Everyone, as far as I'm concerned, has two paths that you can take. It's either the hard road or it's the easy road. One or the other, you know. And some people, one day they're on the good road where their life plays out really nice, and then the next day they're on the hard road where it goes down another deal. And so there's all these different choices that you can make, sparking off multiple realities after realities after realities in all kinds of alternate dimensions. And so it feels like we're living a trillion lifetimes all simultaneously of all different possible choices that we could have made from the time we started till the time we finish. It's one experience that it's really... really incredible, but it's also hard to explain and scary at the same exact time. You know?
Well, I just want to go on here about the proof. I don't need to prove myself to anybody. I don't need to prove my experiences to anyone. I need to have that truth within my own self, and I have the source and the abilities, as we all do, to find that truth, to give us that proof, okay? And it is about the energy. Again, I have to talk about the energy and the frequency. Everything is energy. We are energy. Everything in creation is energy. A truth has an energy different from a lie. This is what we need to pay attention to. So when you have a question, you question the universe. You listen and you pay attention and you sense the answer. You sense the response. It is there. It is always there. But if you have doubt, and if you are in your monkey mind and you're intellectualizing everything, you will not find this proof or this truth. So I don't need the proof of my own experiences, and I don't need people to believe in the proof and truth of my own experiences. That's their problem. Yep. I need to just pay attention to what the universe is giving to me. That's all. That's it. Period. I don't need to prove myself to anyone, just like my connectedness to Creator, to Great Spirit, like the miracles I have experienced, like the things I have seen, those that have touched me and so on. I don't need to prove that to anyone, because there's going to be tons of naysayers out there because they're so indoctrinated and in fear of anything beyond that indoctrination that may be truth, and I'm not saying it's definitely truth. I'm just saying. Well, that's why I don't need anybody, the government or anybody else, to tell me, oh, you are right, or wow, that's amazing, you saw that, you experienced that. I don't need that anymore. I used to, because I was dependent on other people to verify and validate what I experienced. But I don't need that anymore. We don't need that anymore. You need your connectedness to the truth, your own self, And to discern the truth, you need to know about energy and frequency. It's simple, but it's a practice, and that's where we are today, because the energy and frequency is key to everything.
I believe all things are possible, and according to science, even science itself says that energy can neither be created nor destroyed. So if we are truly energy, which I do believe we are, because of the science of the hydrogen, oxygen, nitrogen, and even the chemical makeup of our body all the way down to the carbon itself, that we are energetic beings. I honestly believe
that.
Well,
that's why it's not about the mind. The mind plays tricks on us. Our intellectualizing things is deliberate.
That means that all of us, every single one of us, have been around since the beginning of time. In one form or another, we've been around since the beginning of time. We've been there since the beginning. We'll be there at the end. So if there was a great deity that spoke us into existence from all these materials around, that energy or whatever, it's just like I feel like the same way about whenever people say that we create our own reality by, you know, the things that we manifest through our mind. I honestly believe that that's the truth.
What you just said was manifest through our mind.
Yeah.
Yep. Exactly.
I honestly believe that's the truth. I mean, if God could speak in the world into existence, if you said, let there be light and there was light or whatever, you know, even the Big Bang Theory, you just go back to what the science says about the Big Bang Theory. They have no idea. You know, it was a big explosion. All this this order came out of all that chaos, and it's no different than somebody, with exception of the fact that somebody actually spoke it into existence. You know.
Well, now they're having a lot of trouble trying to convince themselves that there was a Big Bang. I mean, you know, the more that science progresses, the more nothing makes sense with them. I'm just saying, but you know it. It's like, okay, here we are. We're on this little bitty planet, okay? And we're in this solar system. And on this little bitty planet, we're moving around the galaxy at about a half million miles an hour. Yeah, we're on this little bitty ball traveling a half million miles an hour around this galaxy, following a sun. Yeah, it's okay. We can believe that, right? And we've got a satellite with us, and we call it the moon, that never rotates. It's always facing, you know, it doesn't rotate. It faces up. If we can believe that, and you say that you can't believe in anything else, then, you know, it doesn't make sense to me. How can you possibly believe that we're moving around the sun? It says it's 67,000 miles per hour around the sun.
That's fast.
Around the galaxy, a half million miles an hour, with a satellite that doesn't rotate like every other satellite out there around every other planet that's moving at the same speed around the same galaxy and the same sun. And if we can put that in our minds and say, okay, that makes sense, how can you say that nothing else makes sense?
Yeah.
How can you discount anything else?
You ever seen that movie, Horton Hears a Who? You know what I'm talking about? It's an elephant named Horton had big ears, and he hears a who, and it turns out the who's were, they living on a little tiny piece of dust. It was a whole world on a little tiny piece of dust. Horton heard them. Google up. Somebody Google it up and find out Horton Hears a Who. But when I was listening to Patty talking about the universe and the explanation of how vast the universe, they say it goes on forever and ever and ever, and the light that's coming from the stars, it's light that might be a planet or a star that doesn't even exist anymore because it took so long for that light to get here. How do you grasp that and then say, well, all this other stuff is just crazy, it's not possible? You see what I'm saying? I'm trying to give another
well
tip.
Yeah, but again, here we are, all of us can say that we're on the earth, right?
Yeah,
all of us. I mean, anybody listening knows that we're on a planet called Earth.
Yeah, that's something we can all agree with.
Right. We know because it's under our feet. We wake up every morning, there it is. We go to sleep every night, there it is, you know. So we... I know, Angemese. The moon does rotate. It's in the new moon phase that we don't see that, right? I'm just saying. Anyway, you know, if we can sit here on... What I'm saying is if we can all sit here and agree that, yes, we are on the Earth, it is real. It is tangible because we're part of it. We move in within it, and we can touch it. We can feel it. It can touch us, let's say. And so we have no problem agreeing on that. It's on the fuzzy stuff, the woo stuff, let's say, that millions of people can experience the same exact thing, but they can't prove it. But each and every individual, they have the same experience and can relate it to different people in different parts of the world, the same exact experience. How can you discount that? We're all on the Earth, and we all are here and feel this Earth, and we say, oh, okay, yeah, I believe there's an Earth. You've got hundreds of thousands of people, millions of people who have the same experience outside of that, who are not connected to each other, but who can tell you that this was my reality, this was my experience. Well, they're standing on the Earth, you know. We cannot discount. There's nothing that we can really discount. We know that energy is like you said, it is continuous. Just is. It exists within everything. It is the all of everything. So if we know that energy is able to be manipulated, if we know that thought, if we know that physical motion, all of these things affect energy and create a frequency, then you can't say, you can't boo-hoo anything. Seriously. That's where I'm at. I can say that these are my experiences, that I had these experiences. You can tell me, well, I've never had that experience, but that means nothing to me other than the fact that you didn't experience what I did. Not that I didn't experience it. And we're all, you know, the more we try to convince each other that we're wrong, you know, the more we keep that ball rolling of falsities where we're never going to find the truth.
That's it.
We're always, you know, it's never going to be there for us as long as we're looking at the other person saying, no, you don't have it, you didn't experience, you didn't see, you didn't do, you know, we're on a ball in a void moving around a sun that's moving around a galaxy that's going into a supposed black hole. And if we can believe that, then we should be able to believe anything.
Well, every single person out there, you know, who maybe smoke a little bit of wacky tobacco or some grass or whatever like that, or... you know, do some sort of hallucinogenic, they all have a different experience. Those folks that had near-death experience were actually, you know, lost consciousness or died there for a while. They come back with different experiences. No two people seem to be the same. So what's to say that our entire life's reality aren't different? You know, we see, we experience things differently. It's like I'm always trying to figure out a way to speak in terminology that everyone can understand, when in reality there's so many different languages in the world, I can't even talk to most folks that exist in this world. So I can't say for definitive anything, you know. I can tell them what my experience is. I can tell them what my knowledge that I've learned, all that kind of stuff. But I can't deny or discount anything that they've said. But the common denominator about all these different things that we've talked about throughout the entirety of the deal, it seems to be guided to keep us completely separated and ignorant of what our reality really is.
Yeah. That's it. Because if we can't come together, you know, if we can't realize that we don't have to disagree over any of this stuff, we can just accept the fact that each of us have our own experience.
Yep.
Each of us creates our own experience. Each of us validates our own experiences, and it's okay, because the world is so full of magic, so full of things that cannot be explained. Even while we're standing on the earth, things happen on the earth that we can't explain. We can't even explain some of the things that happen within our own bodies. So I can't discount anything, and I won't discount anything.
Well, this rock I'm holding in my hand, the science calls a geode. It's magic. I mean, could you imagine what it would actually take to produce this? It's dirty on the outside. You crack it open on the inside, and it's like looks like diamonds in there. I mean, it's just sparkly. It's beautiful. And that's a mystery, you know? That's a scientific mystery. Science has kind of got an idea of how it was done. You know,
we are told that there is no mystery by the authorities. The indoctrination tells us they have all the answers, and this is what the answers are, period. That's it. So, therefore, you don't believe in the great mystery, or a mystery, or all possibilities, or anything other than what you've been indoctrinated to believe in. And so, that's the sad thing. That's really sad. I'm just saying. Because creation is mystery. It's mysterious. It's a great mystery, we call it. And little by little, there are tiny pieces that we are given, and I don't believe we will know totally in our lifetime the whole of this great mysterious, this creation. Because I have seen awesome things, as I know you have, and I have experienced miracles, as I know you people have too. How do you explain that? Well, you know what? You don't have to explain it. I'm not explaining myself to anybody.
I am fascinated by the mechanism. I'm fascinated by the creation. I am so amazed by this world. I mean, it's just, to me, it is beautiful. So if I didn't get to experience anything else in this world, the most important thing that I ever got to experience was the amazement of seeing and questioning on how this world ticks, how it does what it does. It's just, it's beautiful. It in itself is a miracle. I mean, the Earth is a self-contained biosphere of epic proportion. It has more energy, more resources than we could ever use in a trillion lifetimes. And the thing about it is, you know, it was kind of, it was either, it fell into our hands, or it was gifted to us, or it created us, or however you want to look at it. It's amazing, because this thing, it has to have some sort of knowledge that we, as humans, are going to be stupid, and we're going to do stupid things. And so, if it didn't take care of itself, we would destroy it so fast that it would be no home for us to live in. You know, we dirty this planet up. We dirty this earth up. We dirty it up. We trash it. And over the years, this thing, for example, stop mowing your lawn today. Don't mow it at all. Don't ever mow your lawn again. You'll find about a couple weeks into the summer, the grass is going to be pretty tall. A couple more weeks, it's going to be even taller. A couple months, you're going to start seeing little trees pop up. A couple years, you're going to see bigger trees. And before too long, you're living right dead up in the jungle with the snakes and the birds and the bees and all that other kind of stuff. And if you don't touch it ever after that, your house is going to fall down. The bugs are going to eat it up. The weather is going to tear it down. It's gone. So whatever you don't use, nature takes back. Whatever you
don't use. There'll be a lot of medicines there in your yard.
Well, sure, yeah, there's a plus, but nature puts it back the way it was before you got there. Before you built that house, nature puts it right back.
But the indoctrination says to mow your lawn.
Yeah, mow
and
your lawn.
And also spray your lawn with insecticide or pesticide, whatever the heck it is. Spray it. That's what the indoctrination tells you, right?
Yep.
Well, then you got to go buy a mower, then you got to go buy that pesticide, then you got to go spray that, and your kids walk on it, your animals walk on it, blah, blah, blah. So what are you Oh, yeah, but the community that you're living in, it gets angry if you let your lawn go back to nature.
Oh, yeah, they'll call the homeowners association on you. Or they'll call the city out there to give you a fine. So, in reality, we are our worst nightmare because we think it's all right to call the law on your neighbor instead of going over and saying, hey, brother or sister, are you not feeling good? Or is your lawnmower broke down? You mind if I help you pitch in? You know, we keep the place looking nice and all that. You didn't offer that. No, instead you was mad because you mowed your lawn and your neighbor for some reason didn't mow their lawn, so you call up the city and the city comes over there and gives them a certain period of time to fix it, and so if they can't get it done within a certain time, then, you know, they get fined. I gotta tell you a true funny story. Check this out. This is a true funny story. I moved into a neighborhood a long time ago, and there was a judge, an ex-judge, that used to live right next to me. And I hadn't even moved in, but I made a deal with the landlord, and the landlord said that if I cleaned his house up, because the last tenants left it a mess, if I clean it up, he won't charge me a deposit, and then I can go ahead and move in. So I'm there, I'm cleaning the place out, I stacked all the stuff in the driveway, I'm waiting for my brother with the pickup truck to come over so we could haul the stuff off to the dump. Well, the next thing you know, the lawman shows up. He says, are you going to move that stuff? And I said, yeah, why? I'm waiting on my brother with the truck. And he said, well, if it ain't out here by a certain time, I'm going to write you a citation. And I said, what? I haven't even moved in yet. And so, you know, this went on. This guy next door, he kept calling. He called the dog catcher on me, telling the dog catcher I didn't feed my dog and all this kind of stuff. Dog catcher come out, see the dog had food and water. And every time I turned around, he was calling the law. So one day, I come home from a hard day's work, and I get this citation on my front door that said that if I didn't have my grass mowed by a certain time the next day, that I was going to get fined by the city. And so at that point, I done had enough. So I folded up this citation. I put it in my back pocket. It was 11 o'clock at night. I went out to the shed. I reached in there, grabbed my lawnmower. I unscrewed the exhaust and threw the exhaust pipe up in behind the doggone stuff in there. And I started mowing my lawn at 11 o'clock at night. I was making all kinds of racket. Mowed real good right in between the houses where this particular character that keep calling the law on me all the time. And I knew the law was showing up. Well, next thing you know, here they come. All the lights in the neighborhood are coming on. And this police officer walks up and he said, is it really necessary for you to mow your lawn at 11:30 at night? And I pulled out that citation and handed it to him. I said, according to the city, it is, because if I don't have it mowed by this time, they say they're going to fine me. And since I got to work tomorrow, I have to do it right now. And he said, well, can you please hurry up, because you're making your neighbors mad. And so I finished mowing the lawn. Meanwhile, my neighbor's out there yelling, and the lawman's telling my neighbor, you need to go back in your house or I'm going to take you to jail for disturbing the peace. And he didn't like that too much. That's a true story. But had he just talked to me peacefully, we could have resolved it. I could have told him, hey, you know, my brother's on the way over here with a truck. We haven't moved in yet. We're going to keep it clean. You know, don't worry about it. But that's the kind of deal you have to deal with, as, you know, when you're living in the doggone neighborhood, that your neighbors, instead of trying to help you out or talk with you, you know, or get to know you, they'd rather call the lawman on you. So we're our worst nightmare when it comes down to that. We hinder each other's freedom. What do y'all think?
Well, I agree. But, you know, we were built this way. They've been working on us a long time, and they've done a really good job about teaching us to distrust each other and to trust the authorities, you know. And I don't mean authorities just with government. I mean authority in every aspect of our lives. You have someone that tells you, if you go to a church, that tells you what you have to do in order to be considered worthy right? Even though you came here with everybody else the same way, from the same place, somebody else has the upper hand on knowledge about how you're going to get back to that place that you came from, right? We're talking about how we got here. So you go to a church and there's a man or a woman who stands up on a pulpit and tells you how what they believe.
Yep, I had a preacher tell me that my words weren't nothing more than filthy rags to my God. And I'm like, well, if that's the case, then what's the point? You know, I never went back to that church again.
Well, and it's the same thing in your school. You go to school, and you're told, this is how it is, and this is the way you do it.
Yeah, don't question.
Don't question. And then you've got the local court systems and such that tell you, this is the way it is, and this is how it's done. Even, you know, you go to the grocery store, this is how it is, and this is the way it's done. Everything in your life, you're told, this is the way it is, and this is how it's done. And so we start, and that's normal to us. By the time we're adults, we think if somebody's not telling us what we can do and how it's done, that, oh, it can't be true, it can't be real. It's really, really, really cool the way they, you know, they're, whoever it is, I don't care who you think it is, it's whoever you think it is, okay? I'll put it that way. Whoever it is that is in control, they are brilliant. They are absolutely brilliant because they know how gullible man is. They know how willing to trust. We're social beings. We're social to the point of we would rather go to the herd, knowing that the herd is getting ready to go off the cliff, than stand here by ourselves and watch it happen. Not all of us. But the majority. You know, and we were built this way. We weren't born this way. We were built this way. And so this is the biggest hurdle. This is about the only thing that I know. You want to know what I think is true? I think we've been so screwed around with that we don't know up from down, and it's purposeful. But there is a truth. There is a truth that goes beyond all of this, that makes all of this not... It doesn't matter what you think or believe as opposed to another person. Not that it doesn't matter to you, because it's everything to you. But we know, I think intrinsically, that we come from a place where there is a source of all life, and that we are part of that source. And I think the majority of us, I would like to think that the majority of us realize that that's exactly where we're at right now, and where we'll be after we're done with this experience. We haven't ever left the all that is. We haven't ever left the source. We're still a part of the source. Whether you want to call it the great mystery, whether you want to call it the creator, whether you want to call it God or whatever. We never stopped because we became physical. We became physical because we came from the source. And the source still exists, and it will always exist. It's like you said, it is energy to me. Okay? This is my truth that I know within myself, is that we are energy, and that we come from this energy, and this energy is of everything imaginable and even unimagined. There are things we have yet to even discover in our imaginations and in the reality that we create. There is no end to the possibilities. Right. So I think the main thing that we need to worry about right now is how do we keep remembering? How do we keep realizing that this physical realm, it's okay. It's a good experience. It's an awesome experience. And we get to do it together. but we don't have to invest in it to the point to where we forget that we're all related, that we're all the same source, that we all came here, we're all living here, we're all going to the same place. It never ends. We're always all together, one energy, one force, and that's what we should be remembering. Agreed. You know, and to me,
there's a reason why that they always want to spy on us, why they always want to track us and all that kind of stuff. Because if we ever get too big for our britches, according to their system, they're always going to have something on us. You see what I'm saying? It's like all these senators and congressmen or any representation that happen to make it up into the higher echelon of what we're supposed to call representatives of us. They got dirt on every single one of them. They want to keep an eye on us. Why would any individual be important enough to spy on? Why would they spend so much time and resources in order to keep tabs on what we're doing? Because there's got to be something in the background that they're afraid of. And that fear that I think that they got is the fact that you and me and all these people combined, we're powerful. Our combined energies, they fear, because it changes their way of life. I mean, I keep mentioning about that grasshopper, what that grasshopper said. Those ants outnumber us 100 to 1. The day they realize that, our way of life changes. So, what better reason to hide the history, the true history of where we actually came from, even if it's a combination of everything that we all have read, biblical, Greek mythology, even sci-fi or whatever, all these things combined, everything they show you in the movies, they're showing you nuggets of truth and passing it off as science fiction or fairy tales or mythology or, you know, in some cases maybe even on religion. I don't know. But there has to be a reason why that they're doing what they're doing to us. They're not just doing it to one of us. They're doing it to all of us. Constantly we're being told that there's differences in each of us. We got different color skin. We got different color beliefs. We got different color religions or political views. Constantly keeping that pot stirred so that you're always out there questioning each other, arguing with each other, when we should be questioning the information that's coming to us to begin with. You know, I've said this, and I know it probably it sounds ridiculous, but if there is any one book in this entire world that is questionable because it was written by man, then all information is questionable. And, you know, when it comes down to what Barbara said earlier, I would take the word over my elders before I would take the world over a word over an authority or anything like that, because, you know, I've been around my family and my elders long enough that they ain't got no reason, they ain't got no agenda, you know, to tell me of a different story or whatever. They tell me what they believe, and then I take that for whatever it is. Not everybody who's born in a Christian family remains a Christian. Some of them end up being hardcore atheists or agnostics. They walk their own spiritual path and they find what they believe in. Some of them go into different types of New Age views and such like that. Some of them just completely go off the rails. It's hard to say. Every single person out there has their own path that they're on. And I don't think that every single person out there is wrong about what they actually believe in. I believe that their view on the world has to do with the journey that they took. And I can't discount their journey. I can't discount their experiences, because I haven't walked in their shoes. I haven't lived what they lived. Just like they ain't lived what I lived. You know, the one common denominator about all of what we're talking about is that each and every one of you is a unique individual, a one of a kind. It don't matter if you're triplets, quadruplets, or twins, or any of that. It don't matter. You could have three identical twins. Each one of them has their own specific personality, their own specific beliefs. There will never, ever be another one of you. Ever. There's only going to ever be one of you, so that makes you special in the grand scheme of things. You cannot be replaced. It's, if we lose one of you, we lost a piece of that puzzle, that important piece of the puzzle. It might be the one little gear in the machine. You might be that one little gear that makes the whole thing function properly. It may still function without you, but it'll never do what it was truly meant to do. And so if we could bring all of our pieces of the puzzle together, we can get that big picture and we can find out what the truth of our history is. We can find out where we came from. But it's that journey, that mystery, the adventure of everything that we go through throughout our entire lives. You know, that's the fun of the whole entire thing. I don't know what the real truth is. Go ahead, Patty.
I was just agreeing with you. You know, this, we only have a short time to be here. You know, in the grand scheme of things, this is just the blink of an eye. And you're only going to take with you, when you leave here, what you came here with. That's it. Your experiences here, they should be yours. They shouldn't be somebody else's. They shouldn't be based on somebody else. Your experience, what you take, is what you came with. And it's all. You know, be true to yourself. Because in the grand scheme of things, it's your walk that matters. Nothing else will matter after this experience, because this experience will be done with. But you won't. You're going to continue onward.
Yep. And so why sit around and fight over it?
That's why I say, well, what they say, choose your... What is it? Choose your... I lost the thread. Like when they say, I guess I'm just trying to say, what is important, you know? Where are you going to put your energy? If you take the information, you know, like what you just said, we don't have a lot of time here on this earth. We're here, I believe, for a significant reason. I think everyone here is here because they have a purpose, and everyone is significant. So how you spend your time here is key, because, yeah, it's nothing. I think the things that they're telling us to focus on, or putting in front of our face to focus on, or indoctrinating us to focus on and believe in and so on, is a waste of time. Deliberately set up so that we put all of our energies, our fears, our worries, our arguments, you know, the disunity and being pitted against each other is really a plan to really distract us from what, you say? Well, distract us from the time that we have here and what we were meant to be doing here. Why are we here? It's not just, you know, by chance we're here. It's not just insignificant that we're here. I don't believe we're here to, like, become wealthy people and kill each other to become wealthy, or go over somewhere else across the world because we're told that they are the enemy. You know, I don't believe that's why we're here, but we are here for a short period of time. So how are you using your energy? What is your focus? How distracted are you? How indoctrinated are you? What are you doing with the precious time and abilities, of course, that you have while you're here? You're not going to be able to take anything with you, like, you know, material-wise, so it doesn't matter. But how angry are you? You know, how jealous are you? How judgmental are you? How argumentative are you? Because to me, I feel like that's a plan. That's part of the indoctrination, is to get us angry. To, you know, that whole jealousy, the greed, everything is part of not who we truly are. I just have to say that. I think, because if you know, if we all knew and really lived accordingly to the message that we are sacred children, one with our Creator, our Source, we don't need anyone else, then how would you live your life if you knew truly that you were so significant, so special, and sacred, and that you have gifts that Creator gave you that are supposed to be shared, that we are meant to be living a joyous, peaceful life in this abundant world that was given to us, that everything we ever needed was given to us. The clean water, the clean air, the natural foods, the natural medicines. Life here was meant to be in harmony and balance. Well, we know that through the indoctrination and the corruption and greed coming in and certain people having a plan to be at the top of the pyramid and enslave us all, our minds, our bodies, and specifically our spirits. If we knew all this, if we could change the things, you know, if we could change something, what would that be? To know that I don't have much time here in this world. What am I going to do? How will I live my life? How will I walk on this journey? That is what the legacy that I will leave for my children and my grandchildren and so on and so forth.
Yeah, that's what I think. I think we're like the founding fathers, just like the dream thing that I wrote, that we're the founding fathers of our children and our children's children's future. And what we do today will definitely define the world that they live in tomorrow. I honestly believe that. You know, we could just shut up and not even say anything, just go along to get along. But we weren't made with cookie cutters. We weren't made from a single mold. You could take a million people and stand them side by side. They're all different. You know, every single one of them's different. We look different. You know, some of us got different color skin.
Well, that was that's creation.
Yeah.
And that's a beautiful thing, but to me, the indoctrination is to identify us as separate. The indoctrination is to bring up hate and prejudices against others and so on. But that's not original. Original creation was of harmony and balance, and the people were in the tribal consciousness, meaning we were connected not only with each other, we needed each other, and also we were connected to the earth. All things were given to us in that way, and we all knew it. We listened to the stars. I mean, watched the stars. We listened to nature. We watched what was going on. We were connected and aware. We were consciously aware of our presence on the earth and everything we did. And in our culture, in the indigenous culture, everything that was determined by the people kept in mind the coming generations, the coming seven generations, basically coming up behind us. There were no determinations or decisions made randomly or for personal gain. It was to basically include, and with the knowledge and wisdom that there are children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren coming behind us. How are we leaving this earth for them? Today, that is not even a concept or a realization or an understanding in anybody, you know. It's all about what are we going to get now? What can I get now? What can I gain now, you know?
Yeah.
And how am I going to do it? You know, and so you have persons who are doing terrible things but for their own gain, regardless of how it might injure someone or affect the earth or affect others or children specifically. So things are so out of balance, and the tipping point is very severe. And I think this timeline that we are in, that I've often spoke about, the time of the prophecies, about this timeline that we are in, is about the inner standing and inner wisdom and enlightenment. And, you know, we are looking at the two lines here, the parallel experiences of the fourth world of chaos, that has been going on for millennia that we have been experiencing, and that has been rising and increasing as we see. And then the new paradigm or the shift into the thousand years of peace, where you just want to say, you know, the world, a different paradigm. It's a different frequency. The fourth world of chaos is a lower frequency that is ramping up and roiling around and impacting mind, body, and spirit. And the fifth world, or the sacred hoop of the fifth world, basically is about the return to harmony and balance, you know, and peace. And they're two parallel realms. And people are being dragged back into the fourth world of chaos with these personal judgments and jealousies and various other things, because they align with the fourth world of chaos frequency. So to shift into a higher consciousness is this timeline that we are in. And the work is powerful to prevent that. They are working so hard because they know the power that we have when we are in a higher frequency of love, for instance, a higher frequency of compassion and gratitude, which is our true nature, as I said before, as being, you know, having tribal consciousness in relation to the earth and creator. So this is a powerful timeline we are in. It's awesome, actually, when I think about it, why we are here and what we are experiencing and what is in our hands and all that we could do if we come into that alignment with the higher frequencies and find the balance within ourself first, because it always begins with us. Like, peace begins with us, it says, you know. You have to come to terms with your own inner indoctrination and the demons, you know, that control your mind, the monkey mind. It's just an awesome time, I feel, that we are here. It's an opportunity, I think. And then we have the nature, you know, the cycles of nature, which are very real. That's very real. Then we have the manipulated cycles that are being controlled. So there's a lot going on at this timeline that we are up against, but I have great faith in the power that we have and the love that we really truly are as loving people. And I believe in this, you know, very strongly. To me, it's an awesome time that we are here, and we're not here by chance or randomly.
Well, it's definitely an adventure.
Well, that is true. If you look at it as an adventure, yahoo!
Yeah, it's like we're all on this massive roller coaster going through all this. Some of us is screaming, and some of us is having a good time, and some of us is getting nauseated. I don't regret the life that I've led. You know, it's been an experience. It made me the person I am today. But I see there's something more out there than what we've been told. And I'm striving to try to get there. You know, whether you want to call it heaven on earth or, you know, building our own utopia, so to speak. I know that by myself, there's no way that I could make this world better, you know, outside of the little parts that the positive pebbles that I throw in a pond, which, you know, they do work. They gradually work their way out. You start seeing, something like as simple as a smile. You smile at somebody, they smile at somebody else. So our cause has an effect out there in this world. But for my liking, it just I guess I'm impatient because I would love to see this world just kind of wake up one day and realize that all the crazy stuff that we're doing and arguing about, it's insignificant in the grand scheme of things. And if we're all in this to be in a team, like a team together, and we're all in here to learn to figure out the true meaning of our existence, then we're taking the hard road to get there. There's still wars. There's still rumors of war.
It's meant.
Huh?
Yeah, well, we will be forever in war. This is the plan. Because it's a business. It's a big business. But to be warring with yourself is another part of the story. That's the indoctrination. And to be warring, of course, with others in your own family, for instance. And, you know, I think it's a psychological warfare that they have been using against us. And, I think we have to realize that they want us pitted against each other, and that's working very well. They want us in a race war, you know. And I'm not saying there isn't division in that area and that there aren't people who have this hatred inside of them. But, you know, people aren't born with hate. You know, we have said this so many times. It's like if you see a bunch of little babies of different, cultures and different color and so on in a room, they're all playing and kissing and hugging each other. They're curious about each other, but then the indoctrination starts, you know, and it's age-old indoctrination about I am better than you, you are less than I, you know. That's part of the indoctrination, you know. I mean, I have a compassion and love for all people. I don't care what color they are, what they're doing, even what their religion is. But as you so often say, you know, and I feel this way as well, no one has the right to tell me what I should believe in, you know, or pressure me, or especially they go to indigenous nations who are, you know, this has been across the board, go to the indigenous nations and, you know, mess up their minds, you know, and get them to believe in a book and their religion and take them away from their own spiritual practices, their own spiritual way, their connectedness to Creator, you know. And that people like that are, their whole life is, you know, about indoctrinating others into their religious beliefs.
Well, I don't think it just, I don't think it's just, you know, specific to religion. I think it's across the board on everything.
Well, I was just going to add, everything, it's a political game.
Everything,
I agree.
Everything's been turned inside out. What normally would have been good is, you know, basically steered to the bad. And so, you know, if there were any, if there was any goodness about anything out there, if anything was good for us, it's steered in the opposite direction. We're not inspired to, you know, do good things for everybody and be agreeant, or tolerant of each other. We're taught to, basically like the Jerry Springer show, you know. They whisper in this ear over here and say, yeah, they said something bad about you. And then they whisper in the other ear over there and say, yeah, he said something bad about you. And they keep us pitted on each other.
Well, when you are indoctrinated to be believing that your life is miserable, and perhaps you are suffering. I'm not saying there aren't people that are suffering and really struggling, but when you are indoctrinated to believe that that is, you know, you're deserving of that because you were, you know, on the bottom, you know, of the bottom of the ladder, and the system makes it difficult for you to have, you know, things or aspire to things. I mean, that's deliberate too. Then you love those shows. You love those Jerry Springer shows because somebody's getting beaten up, you know, emotionally and physically, and that makes you feel good. But Jerry just said something interesting. She said, perhaps it was Stone that asked a question about how do we know that the high frequencies is what we should pray for the Earth? It's not praying. The Earth has a high frequency. The Earth is a high frequency already. It's not about that, praying for that for the Earth. It's about us. We are to aspire to a higher frequency, which is compassion and, you know, being in service here to others and also to the Creator, to being good people, kind people, loving people, reaching out to help others. That's a higher frequency. You know, our love and compassion is a higher frequency. The Earth is fine. I'm just saying.
Well, there's people out there when you ask them, can't we all just get along and, you know, have humor or whatever, they always constantly say no, but it's like we've been basically desensitized to war and violence for so long, you know, and, you know, back, go back to the old slapstick comedies. They were kind of funny back in the day, you know. The Three Stooges hitting each other with hammers and 2x4s. They never got hurt, but they are... You know,
I didn't think that was funny.
Well,
I don't know.
I'm saying we were conditioned to think that that was funny.
Yeah.
But over the years, it got where as a good person, you started realizing that things weren't as funny as they looked. You know, like I just watched some the Little Rascal shows, and some of the things that those little kids did to that little black kid in there, it was terrible. I mean, they tormented that kid, and in some of the scenes, you could tell the kid was like really crying. You know, it wasn't it wasn't an act. He wasn't an actor during a deal, but it was a time when they treated these children like this. You know, for this show. If you go back and watch these doggone videos, some of the things that they did in there were terrible. And when you're growing up and you're taught that this is just a show, it's just funny, you know, all that kind of stuff, and then when you start getting a little bit of wisdom under your belt, you start to realize, no, it ain't funny. Why would they put this kind of stuff out there to, you know, make it normalized, to, you know, throw something in the face of a little child like that, you know?
Well, I remember watching that as well, and you know, Jerry said something interesting. She said they're trying to desensitize us over and over. Yes, and they started very early. They start us very young to desensitize us. That's part of the agenda, the indoctrination. You know, where you can now today see somebody wearing a red hat is having being pushed around and shoved around and screamed at and spit on and having a milkshake thrown in their face.
Yeah.
And that's okay with some people. It's not okay with me. But that's how serious it's gotten, is that let's, you know. And it's the same thing with, you know, hanging. Hanging black people was a picnic. Everybody in the town got their picnic baskets filled up, and took their kids and grandma and grandpa and went out and watched the hanging.
Well, that's just as that is just as sick as the actual act itself. And so, as far as I'm concerned,
well, of course,
those folks are just as guilty as the one who did it.
How can you go? How could? See, I can't comprehend that. I cannot comprehend my neighbors packing up a picnic basket and taking their kids and grandma and grandpa down the street to watch a hanging or a tar and feathering or a violent murder against another human being. I can't wrap my mind around that, but now I know it is an indoctrination, incrementally, slowly indoctrinating us, basically, to desensitize us to others' pain.
Yep.
Where we don't have a feeling, we don't have a sense of someone else's pain. As a matter of fact, this is a severe evil indoctrination. That is not our true nature, I don't believe.
So how people can think that there's not a difference between good and evil, I'm clueless on that aspect, because there are things in this world that are just beyond evil. And, you know, I honestly believe we're in a spiritual battle. I believe that this world that we live in is, pitted against us. We're literally fighting for our own...
Well, it's not the world we're living in. It's the people's, the evil people.
Well, when I say the world we're living in, I'm probably not using that terminology.
Yeah, I know what you mean, but I gotcha. I'm just, you know... I have questioned how can people be so evil, and I have questioned this over the years as I'm doing research and looking at, you know, the behaviors of people, and, it's just mind-blowing to me, of course. It's beyond my comprehension, but I question the universe about it, because it's deliberate. I mean, you read stories about so-and-so doing this and determining and making a choice to do that. You read about scientists, manufacturing things that are doing harm, or pharmaceutical companies who are putting out, drugs that are killing people, and they know about it. The studies show that, they're having conversations about the deaths of people, the overdosing of people, but it's the good numbers, so let's just keep going. Well, the good numbers mean it's the money. I question this circumstance, and I question the universe, and the answer I get is because there's something evil here that hates what is sacred, despises what is sacred. Well, you are sacred. Your children are sacred. Everyone here on this earth, we are sacred. The earth herself is sacred. The water is sacred in our understanding of all creation. Everything is sacred. So I question, well, how did these people come to be so, to do these horrible things? You know, thinking about it, planning it. What is going on? So you have the term, those who sell their soul to the devil.
Yeah.
Okay. And when you have, we are all tested, aren't we now? We are all... we all meet the demon. We all meet the test. We all meet the challenge. We are all basically, asked or told, if you do this, you can have anything you want. I'll give you anything. Those are the words spoken. I will give you the world or anything that you can imagine to do. I will make you rich and wealthy, and you can have anything that you could ever imagine freely. And so we are all tested that way, and there you go, there you stand. And of course, what makes a person, what is going on with that person who says, okay, I'll sell you my soul because I've got this plan, or I want to be wealthy, and I don't care about other people, I don't care about unborn babies or children or the earth or the water. I just want the money. I want to be king. I want to be queen. I want it all. Without any consequences, I'll sell you my soul. And there you go. It's not so simple, because when you sell your soul to something so dark, you are owned for the whole of your life, and that goes through your experience. And, well, I'm not a judge, so I can't say what will happen to them. I believe that we are all, that there's a spirit within us. I believe that it's the journey of the soul spirit, the determination to come here. The question is, are some here deliberately to do harm? Are some here, did Creator, God, whomever you want to say, know that that soul, when it came here to embody itself within that physical person, that they would choose evil? I don't know. I am not a judge. I don't judge other people. As a matter of fact, you know, I believe in the power of prayer. I do. I've seen miracles through that. So I pray for those people. It is not for me to judge them or hate them. I don't want to add to that frequency, because that what goes round comes round, first of all. And I know that we are seed planters, and I know that we plant seeds either positive or good or healing or hateful or damaging or destructive. I don't want to participate. It's my choice, you know, to choose what I'm, the seeds that I am planting. And what do I do with all this terrible, horrible stuff and evil that I'm aware of? Well, I give it over to the Great Spirit, who I have a deep faith and trust in, this power, this omniscience, this intelligence. And I give it over. My prayer is basically asking for intervention for those who are lost, who have sold their souls to the devil. And again, I'm not judging. I'm just doing my very tiny part, my small part with words, for help for those people to stop this evil. So that will make a change. That will be good. I'm just saying. And so we can do something, but I think ultimately what I am saying is I'm giving it over to the Great Spirit Creator, who knows everything, who knows all. That's how I feel. And that is a power I have, is to pray for those who have sold their souls. I don't want to be their friends, you know, but I'm looking at the bigger picture here. I'm looking at the whole of creation that I absolutely love. I want that evil to disappear. I want that evil to not have its grip on people, but we are all challenged with that. We were all given free will by Creator to choose. No, I don't want to do that. I want to be here and to be in service, and I want to help people, and I want to live a joyous, peaceful life, and I want others to experience that as well. But we are all subjected to this possibility of choosing to do evil or selling our souls. And as I am saying, I am not a judge of others. It is not my place to judge. And I am not God to say we're doomed and gloom. It's all going to end. We're all going to die. I am not saying that. I would never say that, because it's not my place. It is in Creator's hands to determine that. And of course, we're all participating. And we have to ask ourselves, ultimately, it is my journey, about my journey here on life and the legacy that I leave, not only here on the earth, but also in the ethers and the realm of Creator's realm. That's all.
Well, in the chat room, Angems, I think that's how you say that, said Caitlin Bennett was attacked at Ohio University last week. There were some shocking scenes, and got a YouTube link, and said mainstream called it a protest. It looked like a riot. That's that's the thing. The mainstream media out there, we already know what side of the fence that they're on. They've been lying to us for a long time to manipulate us into things and making us believe in all kinds of different. Even though they call us conspiracy theorists, to kind of basically give you that information, tell you there's a conspiracy, and then mock and ridicule you when you talk about the conspiracy. So they got a plan to manipulate us. The government's out there. They've been manipulating us for years. They get us to go out there and do battle with people that we've never even met before. Probably would have never met under any other circumstances unless we went to travel over there. But, the fact is, we still have wars. We still have rumors of wars. We still have plagues. There's a supposed plague going on right now. Coronavirus. We have famines. There's people starving in the world. We have all those things that were written down in a book so many years ago, and, these things are coming to pass. So, what are we going to do? Are we going to continue to repeat the history that we're not even sure about? Are we going to continue to keep on going down the road to self-destruction? Are we going to continue to keep feeding the beast that's eating us alive? Or are we going to finally get our act together? As individuals, we got to make ourselves strong in order so that we can be strong for each other. But we also have to realize that some of the information that's been presented to us might not be the truth. You know, as we started off a conversation that basically asked the question, what do we really know about the history of our world? We don't. If you want to be intellectually honest with yourselves, you don't. When you know your spiritual journey, you know your experiences, and so it's not for me to discount or distrust or not believe in or anything like that. I want to know. I want to hear your side of the story. I want to hear your points of view. I want to hear what you believe in. What do you believe our reality is? Because the truth of the matter is, I haven't got a clue. I got my faith. I got my spiritual beliefs. I've walked my journey. I've experienced my experiences. I can't say anything for you because I can't walk in your shoes. One thing I can tell you, though, is that we are all in the same boat. And so if you're over there on your side of the boat and you're poking holes in the boat while I'm over here trying to patch them up, this world ain't going to get any better. We're not going to solve starvation. We're not going to solve sickness or all the terrible things that we talk about on a regular basis. We're not going to solve them until we realize we first got to clean our own house. We first got to solve our own problems and get ourselves together, get ourselves right, and then come together and make it so. If we want this world to be a better place, then it's up to us to do it, because the system has no good track record. They have been telling us all the good things they were going to do for us for years. They've promised and promised and promised and promised over and over again. This is the war to end all wars, is what they said. We're still in wars. We're in wars that we've been in there for so many years, we can't even remember how many wars we're actually in or how many people have actually died because of it. This is what they gave us. Now, it's time for us to figure out what we can give ourselves. We can give ourselves a lot. You know, we can take all of our differences and put them aside, and we can respect each other's beliefs and our journeys and our differences, and we can come together and we can do great things. In my faith, Jesus told his disciples, he said, all these things that I do, you can do as well, and you will do greater things if you believe. And that's, I believe that. You know, and from whatever perspective you come from, whatever spiritual journey or however you call it, the great creator or God or whatever, even the lack thereof, you got to sit there and be intellectually honest with yourself. You got to know that we don't know all the truths. And you know, us combined, we got the resources, we got the manpower, we got the skills, we got the wisdom. If we took this, what we have access to right now, and we decided to start designing, redesigning, and recreating our world to what we, in our hearts, know should be the right way, there wouldn't be no babies starving in this world. There wouldn't be no sickness. We have nature's medicine. We have nature's resources. We have each other. We are the miracle that we've been waiting for. We've been looking for the skies. We've been looking high and low, trying to find the great Savior going to come down and save us from ourselves. When all along we were told from start to finish, if you say to that mountain to move, it will surely move. We had the power. We have the power. We've had it all along. They didn't want us to know that. That's why we don't know our true history. That's why we don't know why these buildings or how they were created. That's because we have forgotten all that we knew in those days when things must have been great. They must have been beautiful until they went awry. You know, I say to everybody, I have a dirty old rock in my hand, and if that rock was split in half and you could see inside that and the beauty that's inside there, it's just amazing to me. It's like holding a piece of magic in my hand. But if you take all those beautiful rocks that they call semi-precious stones and you clean them up and you polish them down and you see all the beautiful colors and you think back what this world must have been like the first day, it must have been so incredibly beautiful. And we neglected it. We neglected this earth. We neglected each other. And it won't stop.
There's some words here that I want to share with one of the Hopi elders. In these words, you have been telling the people that this is the 11th hour. Now you must go back and tell the people that this is the hour. And there are things to be considered. Where are you living? What are you doing? What are your relationships? Are you in right relation? Where is your water? Know your garden. It is time to speak your truth. Create your community. Be good to each other and do not look outside yourself for a leader. And then he clasped his hands together and he said, this could be a good time. Then he said, there is a river flowing now very fast. It is so great and swift that there are those who will be afraid. They will try to hold on to the shore. They will feel they are torn apart and will suffer greatly. Know the river has its destination. The elders say we must let go of the shore. We must push off into the middle of the river and keep our eyes open and our heads above the water. And I say, see who is in there with you and celebrate. At this time in history, we are to take nothing personally, least of all ourselves. For the moment that we do, our spiritual growth and our journey comes to a halt. The time of the lone wolf is over. Gather yourselves. Banish the word struggle from your attitude and your vocabulary. All that we do now must be done in a sacred manner and in celebration. We are the ones we have been waiting for.
Yep.
And I just want to add my own addition to the raging river, because we are told to let go of the shore, and yes, many will be afraid. And what is on the shore is the old way. What is on the shore is the fourth world of chaos, okay? Letting go is letting go of that time and going out into the river. The raging river is with trust and faith. Also about the raging river is the river has a destination, as this elder said. And, you know, the destination, during the time of life, we enter into the turmoils, the ups and downs, the swing of the pendulum from the light to medium to dark, back again out into the medium and then into the light and so on. This is the journey of life. And the river has its journey too. And when you let go and get out into that river, as they said, make sure you see who's there with you and align with the people. Come together, okay? This is the time for the lone wolf is done. We need each other. It is about unity, and you see the deliberate, work to pit us against each other and keep us separated. Do not go there. Allow yourself to be indoctrinated to hate others, to be against others, and so on. I'm just saying. This is an extraordinary time, and we do need each other. This is, to me, come back full circle to our unity, to our tribal consciousness, to our relationship, not only to each other as human beings, but all sacred children, all of all colors, and also to this creation and to our and to the Great Spirit.
Yep. I just wish that... I guess, like I said earlier, I'm kind of impatient. You know, I've felt the urgency for so long. You know, I told about a experience that I had where, you know, whether you want to call it a vision or a dream, but it was really profound to me, and it changed my life in ways that really aren't explainable by words. But as I look into the future of the destiny path that we as humanity as a whole are on, it doesn't look good. And that's why I feel an urgency, because, you know, I'm 54 years old. Some people would call that young, but it's still, I've been around long enough. I've seen a few things. I've seen changes in the world. And I think that when I'm gone, I would like to know that, you know, when I'm not there to protect my family physically, that I'd still be able to be there to protect them spiritually. But I also want to know that the world that I leave my grandchildren that they have a chance at a really decent life, not have to suffer through the things that we have had to suffer through. We've seen terrible atrocities in the time that we've grown up, you know, from child to adults. We've seen terrible atrocities. We've seen humans do terrible things to one another. And some folks will sit there and they will say that humans are the disease, humans are the infestation, the humans are the problem. I don't believe that. I don't believe that our God or our Creator or whatever created any trash, only treasure. And each and every one of us, I honestly believe, deep down in my heart, had the capability of going either way, to the rotten extreme, to the greatest extreme of the most loving souls or beings. I honestly believe that. And so that's what I get out here and I lobby all my brothers and sisters out in the world to not only believe in yourself. I don't want you to believe in me. I want you to believe in yourself. I want you to realize that there's more to this world than meets the eye. That you know, you sit around and argue about whether or not the Bible is or isn't. It don't matter. It really doesn't matter. That book, it's just a book. It's just a piece of paper with covers on it. To me, it has significance because of the way I was raised. But that doesn't mean that that is the only truth that is out there, for wherever it came from. But to sit around and constantly argue with each other, you can feel the sickness every time you're having a disagreement with somebody. Every time that your beliefs are questioned, you have that disagreement, you feel something, you got to either convince them that you're right and that they're wrong, that the information that you got is valid and yours ain't, vice versa. But the reality of all of it is, folks, none of us were there. None of us have been there. None of us have actually seen and witnessed all this firsthand. So none of us can truly say that every person that came after that event were honest with us. They didn't put all the books in the Bible according to what I understand. That doesn't mean I'm going to discount the words that inspired me out of that book. I mean, you don't have to read it. But I did. I read parts of this book. I read all this book. I read things and words that a man called Jesus spoke. I resonated with. I believed in it because I want to be good to my mother. I want to not kill. I want to not steal. I want to try to be the best person I can. I want to walk in the footsteps of that man who went out there and helped to heal the blind. And if he was the Son of God, If he is that, then he can't lie. Otherwise, the whole story was a lie. So to me, I got to take those words literally. If it's said that I can do these things, I'm going to believe it. Society has told me no. Society has tried to tell me that it's all a lie. If it's all a lie, and the history that was told to us is all a lie, where did we come from? And where are we going? We're not going to know that until we actually finally get there. In the meantime, we're watching our world fall apart. We're watching our people tear each other apart. We're watching our people in pain. People use that word that comes out of their mouth to make somebody feel terrible. You can take those words out of your mouth and you can lift those spirits up to the highest reaches of heaven, or you can lower them down to the greatest, darkest abyss. And if you don't think that's powerful, you haven't been paying attention. There's a few pictures on the website. Those pictures, they speak volumes. You know, you sit there and you keep on telling a child that he's stupid, you're stupid, you're stupid, you're worthless, and they're going to believe it. And they're going to take that and they're going to teach their child. You're going to go to school and people's going to tell you you're different, you're no good, you don't have the right clothes on, you look funny or whatever. And you're going to believe it. And those folks at the top that are manipulating all this, those folks on the dark side that are literally manipulating all this to get us to do this to each other, they can't force us to do it. We have to choose to do it. We have to choose to cuss each other out. We have to choose to be mean to each other. We have to choose to lie and steal. and do all the terrible deeds, we have to choose it. We have to choose the dark side, or we have to choose the light. If we can't figure that out, we're in for a hard road, folks. A really hard road. And when it comes down to it, they don't care what you believe in. When it comes down to it, it doesn't matter whether you believe in God or not. It doesn't matter what you believe. When we get to the end of this road and we all find out the truth, and we find out we've been had, there ain't nothing you're going to do about it. There ain't absolutely nothing you're going to do about it. When this boat sinks, we're all going down together. I don't want the boat to sink. I want my children to have an experience of life. I want their children to have the same. I want one day for my kids to look out there and see, you know, things, happy things. I don't want them to see a baby that just doesn't even look human anymore because it can't get no food. It's within our power to fix it all. That's why I lobby with my words. That's why I take these words and I open my heart and I cry the tears, not because I have an agenda, because I actually feel the words that are coming out of my mouth. And I actually feel the suffering of these people that we call our brothers and sisters. I want to make it better. And if all I got is my words, and by God, that's what I'm going to give.
You know, it's easy. It is really easy to sit back and to say, ah, you're wrong. Oh, you're not right. That's the easiest thing we have to do. It comes easy for us because we are an arrogant species. You know, we think that because we know it, that we know. And we don't. Even what we think we know, we don't know. We're here experiencing life. And you know what? The truth of the matter is that this experience, this life, this physical thing, nobody gets out alive. Everybody who is living is moving toward leaving life. So it's only what you do between now and then that matters, and it only matters to you because you're the one that's going to have to decide whether life is worth living in joy, whether there is magic, or whether life is nothing but darkness and grief. You know, that's up to you. That's where you are. That's where you will live by your choices. So it really doesn't bother me that people have different ideologies, beliefs, truths. What bothers me is that we can't accept that. You know? That we can't accept that we all, it doesn't matter. If you're not living life in joy, then you're missing the boat. And other people, that's their path. You know, you got your own. Live your life. Make it something worth something. And only you can determine that. You don't have to aspire to be rich and famous. That's not what brings joy. That's not what brings us to a place of bliss and of being able to see the magic that life really is. What matters is that you even choose to do so. You know? Anyway, that's what I've got to say today. Shaziz, it's been a wonderful show. A really wonderful show.
Yeah, I'm always honored, I feel honored, and to be here with you. And I feel your passion and your love, you know, and I just want to thank everybody out there, wherever you're listening from, you know, for sticking with us here today. It was really beautiful to see everybody in chat, and your feedback always is wonderful. It's good. I know we're talking to the choir, I guess preaching. Sometimes I feel like a preacher, you know, I don't intend to feel like a preacher or be a preacher, but I have to say, you know, get right with your creators, get your foundation strong, your spiritual connectedness and your power, you know, of the love in your heart and the light that you are, and, you know, put the seeds of that in your garden. Get your garden strong. Find your community, you know, start with your people. Big problems out there, huge problems out there, and yes, start small in your own community with yourself. Get right with yourself and your own spiritual connectedness and the love in your heart and who you really truly are. And then spread that out to your family and your community. You know, start small with your community. Just meet your neighbors and see maybe you can do something together. If you feel like, well, there's nothing I can do, well, these are small things that you can do. They will change your life for sure and empower you. And don't get lost. Don't get caught up in... Don't let the fear grab you, because that's the intention, is to let that fear grab you so that you feel helpless and hopeless. So start with your community. Get a little garden going in the community, you know, or see who has what skill that you can trade. Get to know your people in the area. I'm just saying, this is the way I feel. We have an ability and a power to do. And, yeah, just keep your light shining. And I have great faith and trust. I heard the voice, I heard the spirit say, again, no matter what, everything will be all right. And I'm going to stick with that. I'm not saying it's going to be easy, what we're dealing with, because we are in a big challenge right now. But everything will be all right, no matter what. That's where I'm going to stay. Thank you. Pilamaya Doksha.
Well, folks, you've been listening to the Knights of the Round Table. Thanks once again for... you know, allowing us to be here with you and share this time. I believe there are solutions to every problem. I believe been given the resources to solve all these problems together. If we could just put our differences aside, you know, that's a big if. It's a big if out there in the world. You think about how many people are actually in this world. It's a lot of people. But I think a small group of people like this can make a huge difference. It's one positive pebble in that pond sends those ripples all the way across to the other side. And I don't know whether it was a vision. I don't know whether it was a dream. But I can tell you one thing's for sure, that if I ever get to stand there again and witness and feel what I felt when I stood next to what I believed to be God, there are no human words to explain the type of love that I felt. And I went to the dark side as well. I felt the total opposite of all that is light. I never want to go back there again. I want the people of this world to find that. I want people of this world to feel that just one time in their lifetime, one time in their existence, because if you ever feel that, you'll understand why I'm so passionate. I love each and every one of you. That's what my heart tells me to do. You've been listening to the Knights of the Round Table. If you're inspired by anything, I mean anything, it don't matter if it's just a little fraction of what you heard, cut that little section out and share it with somebody. Write the Knights of the Round Table on a piece of paper and hand it off to somebody. Give them the web address. Bring some folks to the table. There's a lot of folks out there that really need to hear a good word. They may not have any faith or spiritual background, that's fine. We're not here to convert anyone. We're here to accept that you got your own journey that you're on. We're here to accept your differences, your opinions, everything, because we're all working this out together. This is a world that, you know, on the surface looks mad. It looks messed up. But I told you about that rock. Sit down and take a look at them sometime. You might be surprised. It's just a rock. Ain't nothing big about that rock, right? In the center of that rock is the most beautiful crystals that I've ever seen in my life. It's amazing. That's just one little miracle of the world that we live in. And the journey that you're on to make it, to find out where we came from and all that kind of jazz, the experiences, your lives and all that, they are important. Every one of you is important. Share that message with somebody who needs it. Share a smile with somebody. Just go out there and give somebody a hug. You'd be surprised how powerful love is. Take care, everybody.
What is the dream? The dream is to bring brilliant minds from every nation together to solve the world's problems, one positive pebble at a time. It will be we, the people of the world, that bring about true change, peace, and love to all. Governments never solve any problem, only create them. Wars, starvation, sickness, oppression, financial slavery, death and destruction is what governments do best. When all the military might of nations is used to destroy other nations, the question has to be asked, why not use that military strength for good? Feed the hungry, shelter the homeless, heal the sick, and so forth. True representation of truth, freedom, and justice comes from we the people, and it never came from slick-talking politicians that say whatever they have to get elected, and then regulate away your freedoms. There is no reason to have starving babies in the world of today. Yet, it goes on. There's no reason for wars and sickness, yet it continues. We as the people must stop feeding that beast that is eating humanity alive. We the people of all nations have the power to bring about a literal heaven on earth. You as an individual have more power than you can possibly imagine. You have the power of the spoken word. You have the power of the pen. The power of action, and most of all, the power of love. It is time to use this power to make our world a better place. We are the founding fathers, mothers, sisters, and brothers of our children, and of our children's children's future. Into the future and beyond, what we do today will define the world that they live in tomorrow. Let us from every nation come together and make that future a great
one. There was that ant that stood up to me.
Yeah, but we can forget about him.
Yeah, it was just one ant.
Ooh.
One ant.
Yeah, you're right. It's just one ant.
Yeah, boss. They're puny.
Puny? Say, let's pretend this brain is a puny little ant.
Did that hurt?
Nope.
Well, how about this one?
Are you kidding?
Well, how about this?
You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up.
Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life.
It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back.
Does anybody else want to stay?
Was that ant that stood up to me?
Yeah, but we can forget about him.
Yeah, it was just one ant.
Ooh.
One ant.
Yeah, you're right. It's just one ant.
Yeah, boss. They're puny.
Puny? Say, let's pretend this brain is a puny little ant.
Did that hurt?
Nope.
Well, how about this one?
Are you kidding?
Well, how about this?
You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up.
Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life.
It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back.
Does anybody else want to stay?
Old woman!
Man!
Ma'am, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here! Oh! How'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government.
Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help, I'm being repressed,
bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance when we're able. We do routines to call the scenes to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more mid-table. So many times we give them rhymes that are quite unsing-able. We're rock and bad in Camelot. We sing from the diaphragm alone.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
Hear ye, hear ye. King Shazeez the Terrible. All rise for King Shazeez the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table.